Blog Talk Radio.
When I get older, losing my head, many years from now, I've been out till 2:45. Would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. As you might have realised that, yes, someone's got a birthday today, and that's your host, that's me, Jeff, and what can I say? I just had a feeling that the producer, our very own Kel Fritzy, a.k.a. Red Fox Blogger, was going to do something like that, and I really appreciate it, because I've been singing that tune the last few days, and there you go. So that starts the show off for the evening. Also, so do I, Paul. I remember it the very first time around. And as I say, I've got to just share this with all my listeners and the good people in the chat room this evening, that a good dear friend of mine, he knows how much I like the Beatles. And what he's done is he's put an album, he put his album together, all of the Beatles records they ever made, and he said, "It's your birthday present." And do you know what? That was really so nice, you know, because I've always loved the Beatles, because that's what I grew up with, and you know, that was my time, you know, when the Beatles was just really coming, you know, it was taking the country by storm and the world by storm. And it was really appreciated. And I've got to thank everybody for all the kind the birthday wishes today on my Facebook page. It's really touching me. And I've had an absolutely a fantastic day. I've had a quiet day. I haven't done too much today. I didn't want to do too much today. I just wanted to just chill out and enjoy the day. And that's exactly. And I've been looking so forward to the show tonight as well, you know, because, as I say, it's a special time. I've always wondered, you know, being a young lad at the time, and I used to sing this tune and I thought, oh, well, I'm never going to see 64. But there I am today, sitting here, reached the grand age of 64, and I look back, it's like, you know, I look back to when I was a teenager and the years that gone before me, and it's like in a blur. You know, that's how quick time seems to go, doesn't it? You know, as you get older, the time seems to go quicker for some unknown reason. But I got to, I was quite overwhelmed with some lovely birthday greetings today from all my friends, family, and everybody that knows me. And through my relationship within the English Defence League, I've had some great messages come through. So thank you all so much. I'm not sure if we've got anybody in the chat room this morning. Yes, we have. We've got our very own sweet Sue, who's always listening from New Mexico. Bless you, Sue. Sitting there. Anybody else that listens on your devices?
Can you see me?
I was just looking at it with the little nickname there, Cal. Thank you for doing your producing for the show this evening and putting that tune on. You know, I love that tune so much as well. That was and I was blushing when I was listening to it. I was. So thank you so much, Kel. And it's so good to have you here this evening as well, being a part of my day.
I'm the girl in the cake.
You're the girl in the cake. You most certainly are. My goodness me. I've got to talk about cakes, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you get a chance, look at the show notes, look at the slides there. All to do with, well, it's always got something to do with spiders, isn't it, Kelly? She's giggling. Ladies and gentlemen, you can hear, she's behind it. She's the instigator of the spider. The spiders. The spider cakes. My goodness me.
there's some Packy up there wishing you a happy birthday, and he's calling you sexy. What's going on there, Jeff?
Well, I don't know. This is news to me. I've never been called sexy by one of those people before. It's got me worried now. I put my very tight trousers on now, and I'm wearing my bum guard now. I've got to be very careful. Well, one has got to.
Next thing you know, we're going to be playing Duck or something.
Yeah. I've got to keep my modesty covered up, Kelly.
Just, you know, John Travolta style dancing, you know, Saturday night.
Oh, no.
His tight pants.
No, it's just
baby,
a bum shield anyway. And a cork.
So bad.
And a cork, Kel. And we all know about the reason behind the corks, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Stop me, it got me giggling now.
No, you shan't have me in that fashion, sir.
But my goodness me, but it was a pleasant surprise, and when the show opened and the tune started playing, Kel, and it's just as I was relaying to the listeners there, how time goes by so fast, how it goes by
mm-hmm.
so quick in a blur. You know, I remember, you know, as a young man and meeting my first wife and, you know, having the children, and how time goes by. And before you know it, as I say, you look back and you're a great grandfather. Where does the time go, Kel? Where does it go? It's just amazing.
Hey, you know what? One day I woke up and I was 17 years old. The next day I woke up and I was 50. Jeff, I have no idea.
I know. It's just been an amazing day. I've got to admit, my life has always been full. I've never, you know, my cup's always been quite full with things. I've always, you know, my philosophy is, live your life like there's not going to be a tomorrow. Live your life to the full. And yes, we take the knocks and that, and, you know, in life as they come along, as we all know. And I just believe in just live for the day, the hour, the minute, the second. you know, and appreciate life. And that's how I like to think, you know, that I live my life. I try the best, you know. If you, when you get health issues, and sometimes it's difficult. It's a difficult path, but, you know, you just live it to your best, your best abilities, and give life the best you've possibly got, you know. How about that, Kel? A bit of wisdom passed on to a great listening audience out there from, you know, from myself, how I look at things and how I look at life and the situations put before us and how we deal with them and how we respond. And I just think it gives you strength of character, strength of purpose, and I think
absolutely,
to carry on, even though there could be things around you, darkness around you, and, you know, there's the old, as it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I fear no evil. And I think that's the best way to live your life. Don't fear nothing. Don't fear nothing. Live your life. And if anybody tries to stop you living your life as it is, then tell them to bugger off. There you go. Well, to that sort of...
Oh, I know. You know what? BTR is really acting up. It won't let me send you a private messages, so I'm just going to have to relate to you on the air that Michael Green is in the studio, and he's got his hand raised. And if you would like to have a word with Michael, I'm going to try to figure out this browser. It's I'll have to switch to a different browser, I think, Jeff.
Oh, okay, Kel. Well, thank you very much for letting me know my
news
there. You know what I'm like. I'll get carried along.
No. That's fine. That's absolutely fine. It's just I'm going to put myself on mute and bug out for a sec and see if I cannot get this sorted.
Okay, Kel, and I'll see you in a moment. So, okay, thank you. And Michael, it's so good to have you on the show this evening. Good evening, bro. How are you?
Happy birthday, sir.
Thank you very much, Michael. Appreciate it. And I'm still blushing. you know, when I opened the show this evening and the tunes playing out, which I really love, and it does take me back to the time when I used to sing that tune, and I used to think to myself, I'm never going to see 64, and I've actually reached that age today. It's just, it's amazing, isn't it, Michael, you know?
Well, God kept you alive for a reason, so it's a good thing that you're walking the earth, and you're doing great, great things in your program and the EDL, and you're making
thank you, Michael.
Great use. Yeah, Tim, you know, you're talking about human life, and of course, we're born, we live a number of years, and then we are no longer here. So we hope and pray that God gives us opportunities to do something worthwhile, something meaningful with our time on this earth, you know, with our life. And, yeah, time moves fast. It does.
Yes, I was going to say that. That's what I was saying, Michael. As I was saying earlier, you know, I've always tried to live my life to the fullest extent, and take every day as it comes, every hour, every second, live it to the full. And even though there are obstacles and problems that come your way, and being what the good Lord's given us, you know, most of the times you come through it and you brush yourself down and you move forward, don't you, Michael? That's what I've always tended to be like myself. So I think it's been a good way that I've lived my life anyway, and even though there's been some knocks along the way, but you, as you said, like a boxer, isn't it? You dust yourself down, you pick yourself up, and you're ready for the next round.
Well, you know,
basically,
adversity builds strength. When people go through tribulation and difficult times, it builds character and strength. I think it does, and it gives us a better understanding and more gratitude about what we have in life. And, you know, people have always had it easy and they've always not had to deal with too much challenge in their life. You can take things for granted, but when you have to fight and overcome things and go through difficult times in many ways, it really is beneficial.
Yes. I you know what, I 100% agree with what you just said then. You must excuse me, because I've just had, I was having a few issues with the chat room, and occasionally I keep getting these pop-ups come up, so I've just managed to get the chat room back, and I've just see a few other people that's come in, and I've just noticed Holder Awakens come in, and Motif Radio. Good to see all you guys, and thank you for being here this evening. So yeah, I'm sorry about that. I was just trying to get my chat room back, because all of a sudden it froze out on me, and I had to shut it and open it again. but as you say, yeah, it's the way that you live your life and that, and enjoy it to the utmost as you possibly can, and move forward. And that's what we've always done on the radio show as well. We've also just tried to keep moving forward, and we've got some exciting times ahead, you know, within our movement and the organisation as such. And I know there's these good times coming, you know, and I'll be sharing it with the listeners over the next few weeks. We've got some great new things that's going to be happening. You know, when we had Steve Edders on the show, was saying about some of the things that we was hoping to do, and hopefully we can use the show as well, Michael, for a platform for launching some of the things that we was thinking about. So hopefully in the very near future we'll be doing that and promoting different things that we'll be doing. So that's what I'm saying. It's always great to have a radio show like ours where, you know, as we know, Michael, the media doesn't really want to talk about the EDL and what we do. And the things that we do, and there's so many things that we do that a lot of people don't realise. A lot of good works that goes on in the background that the media won't report on, because it gives us it puts us in a good light, because they always want to see us in a bad light, don't they, Michael? You know that. You've seen the way that the media have been towards the English Defence League for a number of years, like most of us. And thank goodness we've got a show that does reflect exactly how we do things, and what we do and what we're about, and how we move forward, and different things that, you know, different demonstrations that we got coming up very soon. So we got one on the 28th of June. I think this is next week. I think we got one actually at Middlesbrough, which is a national demonstration. So feet on the street for that. But that's just the whole thing about, this is one of the reasons why I wanted to do the show in the first place, so that we had a voice. There was a voice out there, and you know, and over the time it's grown with the listeners that listens to the show, and you know, we just looking forward all the time. I always do. I'm a born optimist, Michael. I don't know a sort of a person you are, but I'm a born optimist. I believe in, even though I see there's so much, and you must look around yourself and see the evil out there. There's so much evil in this world, and but at the same time, you know, there's a beacon of light that shines, and we're going to be that beacon of light. We're going to make sure that the light doesn't go out, that the light shines bright, and that evil, that darkness, we will overcome that as well. You know, that's the way I look at it myself personally. This is an individual, you know, person speaking about that, and, you know, with my own thoughts there, Michael. But anyway, it's so good to have you on the show this evening. Thank you very much for calling in as well.
Well, it's always great to be on the air, and I try to make a contribution to your cause and program, and just to be informative about, you know, what we're up against, the Islamic fascism that is manifesting on this earth, and how we can speak out against it, use our resources and things that God gives us to try to make a difference. As you said, there's much evil, enormous evil. This afternoon I went over to a website that has been for many years doing extensive research on what's going on in the Middle East and in the Islamic world, run by a group of professional people. And there are videos posted there that are very disturbing, mainly from Iraq and from Syria, you know, what these savages are doing over there. And I tell you, it's just it really cuts inside of you if you're a human being when you see some of those videos. I don't watch them too long. If you've seen a few of them, you know, you've seen a couple, that's enough, but it's a stark reminder of what this enemy is capable of and what their intentions are.
Yes. I 100% agree. I mean, we know their intentions is to dominate the world. We know they want to bring it under the caliphate. They want the whole world with just Islam ruling. Well, you know, there's people out there like ourselves that they're going to stop because we don't want this evilness. We don't want evilness to reign in this world. We want to see the goodness in life and that. And what these people bring about is, well, as you say, you was watching some of these videos, and I've seen many, and it just makes me realise that, you know, who we're up against. They've got no humanity. These people that do these horrific things to people, they've got no humanity in them. I can't see any humanity in them. When they cry in Allah Akbar, they're severing people's heads off. I don't see any real life in these people. This is total evil. Evil personified within these people. I don't know if you would agree with that statement there, but this is what I see within these people, as though they're possessed. There you go. There's something else I'll bring. As though they're possessed. And maybe it's the brainwashing technique of Islam that creates this, these almost like you know, killing machines, zombified killing, you know, killing machines. It's just the way I look at it, Michael. I don't know if you agree with that sentiment or not.
Well, if we look at the world from a spiritual perspective, from a Christian perspective or Judeo-Christian values and beliefs, then we understand there is a God and there is the adversary of God. So there are these powers that exist in the world. Of course, God's power is the greatest power. It's a power of compassion and mercy and love and patience and hope and strength. And, of course, the hatred that God has for evil, for wickedness. And then you have the opposite, which is the power of darkness, that people who believe these things, we understand that there is a devil, not a little man running around with a red suit and horns on his head, but that there is a spiritual entity called Satan. And Satan has indwelled Islam. Satan has actually created Islam as a spiritual entity. And Satan works through this so-called religion, and it brings death, destruction, misery and suffering, enormous oppression, great intolerance towards other human beings. The idea that these people think they're serving God is just astounding, because they don't know God and they have no idea that there is this situation that one day they will encounter, unfortunately, and they will find out that they never knew God, they never served him. But that's in the hereafter. Problem is, we all know, is what's taking place on the earth. You know, one thing I want to share that I found so disturbing, and they do this all the time, these savages. When they have public executions and they murder and slaughter human beings, they bring little children around, and they expose these young children to these barbaric and horrific acts. And, of course, instilling in these little boys, it's mostly little boys, who they're training to be future jihadists, you know, they're kind of junior jihadists in training. And these kids are waving the black flag of Al-Qaeda, and they have, you know, what looks like an AK-47 or probably not a real one because of the size. They can't carry that or whatever. And isn't it just unbelievable, Jeff, that you see these savages, not just what they do, and they do it publicly, of course, in places like Aleppo and other places in Syria and now in Iraq, but they bring young children to these public acts of barbarity.
barbarians, the breed barbarians, by the, when you look at it like that, isn't it? It's absolute a tragedy to indoctrinate young children into these evil ways of these people. But what this is what we got before us, this cult of Islam, this evil entity, what we see. And I don't care what people say, there's goodness, this, that, and that. Well, you know, I don't see no goodness whatsoever in Islam. And I'd like them to point out, what's the goodness? What I see in the world, 95% of Islamic-related actions going on in the world is from the Muslim faith, the Islamic faith. Nothing more, you know, that's it. This is a true percentage. So I look at it this way. This is pure and evil entity that we are fighting. We are at war. Whether people acknowledge it or not, Michael, they've got to understand this is a war. This is a spiritual war. This is an earthly war. This is must be won. We must win this war. And it's about time that politicians woke up to the fact. I mean, they know, MI5, MI6 know that these people have been fighting out in Syria, and they're over back over here. We've got about 300 or 400 of them roaming about on the streets in the United Kingdom, ready to go about their evil deeds in this country. And this is what we've got before us. And how do we deal with people like that? Then we must treat them with the same rough justice as they treat innocent people, you know. We can't allow evil to reign in this world, can we, Michael? We must stand and fight against it. With all that we've got, our might.
Mm-hmm. What's happening in Syria Iraq, the two things, that what's manifesting in Syria and Iraq is it's a sign of the future, possibly, depending on what the West does. And it's a horrific situation, but it's a massive warning sign, anyway, I see it that way, as to where things could go, not necessarily in the continent of Europe yet. I mean, there's great threat within European countries, a lesser threat in America at this time in terms of a physical war. I mean, it could come down to that, but the Muslim fascists don't have a standing army. They don't have a navy. They don't have, aircraft, fixed-wing aircraft. They don't have the assets that armed forces, have in Western nations. What they do have is they have terrorist tactics, so they can perpetrate and carry out acts of terrorism within Western nations, and that's a serious problem. As you said, 400 of these barbarians are either back in the UK, I don't know, you might know that, or they will be returning, the ones that don't get martyred. Of course, we hope they all get martyred in Syria.
I think MI6 said that there is about 400 of them that have already come home, and they're on our shores. You know, this is a very serious situation, Michael, and it must be dealt with. And any of these people that go out there, it's about time that they was told that they will not be returned. There was a woman crying that her son was over there. He'd been making these statements about calling upon people to join these jihadists, and she was crying. I thought, you know, why are they having this guy's parents on the TV? These are cold-blooded killers. They went out there to kill people. That's it. To kill or be killed. That's it. So why don't they make excuses for them? Oh, sorry, Kel.
Jeff?
I think I'm back.
Just to let you know that Motivate is in queue, and he would like to have a word with you.
Okay. If you just stand by just for a second, Michael, because we'll continue this in a very short while. Thank you, Michael. Dave, it's good to have you on the show this evening, bro, and I hope you are well.
Hello,
mate. All right.
Good evening, and that very, very, very happy birthday to you, my friend.
Thank you very much, Dave. It's appreciated, and I'm overwhelmed today with response on Facebook and coming on the show and the tune playing. I was welling up, actually, Dave. It's been a fantastic
day. And how young
today,
are you today, then, mate?
I'm when I get older. Look, 64, mate.
64?
64.
Listen, conversation, obviously. I didn't want to cut anyone off or do anything. But I did a show on Friday night. And we are now led to believe that at least 5,000 to 7,000 have left our country to go and fight in this war, for starters. Over 700 have already come back, right? They're faking their deaths.
700, Dave.
Yeah, over 700 have already come back. Now, this is from people in the armed services that I've been talking to. So, true or not, I can't even go by what they say, obviously. Now, what we've got to look at more than anything, like you said just now, is that this woman that was on the telly, you know, wailing and screaming like they do when someone dies over there. You know, my son, you're my only son, you're this, you're that, bloke. How did he get the money at 20 years old to get over there in the first place, please? And how are the rest of them getting this money to get over there in the first place? Now, I reckon they're being funded.
Funds, aren't there?
Well, yeah, there's got to be something going on. There's got to be something going on. They've turned guns. My question to you is, and to everyone listening at the moment, we have capabilities, and we're already over there. Now, why aren't there drones? Why aren't we taking these ISIS people out? Because they're not being funny, but these people make everybody else at the moment look like girl guides, right? I've seen videos today that I wish I'd never seen, really. But I've had to watch them to educate myself, obviously, and I'll share them about a little bit. Cars. There's a lot of stuff going on, and you know, I've heard again today that they want to hijack an oil tanker and bring it to one of our eastern docks. Mass suicide jihadist event, apparently. You know, whether they got that idea from the Somali pirates or not, I don't know. These people, what you got to think about as well is, Jeff, right? And I really don't want to piss on your birthday. But
you go ahead, Dave. No, you sell it out, his boy. That's it. That's what you here for, mate.
What you got to think about is, right, is people say they go over there to be radicalised. And I will say bollocks, right? They're already here. They left here to go there. They've already been radicalised in our country by the imams and the hate preachers and probably most of the Muslim population, right? Let's face it. I mean, I don't see anyone standing up and saying, oh, my brothers, what are you doing? That's so wrong. I don't see any of that. Right, now, I've got no doubt there might be a few, but they're not looking after what goes on. Now, like the left come out and speak against the same thing against these terrorists, and they're not doing it, right? They're not coming out and speaking against it. Now, in the towns that they live and the cities that they live across our country at the moment, you know, if one did stand up and say, look, you shouldn't be doing this, they'd probably get some sort of fatwa on their head and they'd be killed. You know, I've heard again today that this Muslim lady that was killed because she was in full dress, they've tried to liken it to another attack that happened to somebody 2 months ago. But anyway, you know, what we've got to look at a little bit is really the Sky News today have been turning around telling everyone they're looking for a tanned person. So it's not even Asian anymore, it's tanned. You know, yeah, I mean, it's getting absolutely ridiculous. They're not going to spew the truth out like they spew the shit that they spew out. Now, just one other thing, just food for thought. There was a mass protest in London yesterday of over 50,000 people, right? These included politicians, celebrities, comedians, you know, Russell Brand was on stage. Now, I know they're the left, I know what they do, but against mass austerity in this country, and there's been nothing on the news. Now, if you think, Sky News said earlier, 2,000 have left our shores to go and fight. Double it and add some. If they're telling you 300, double it and add some. They're always hiding something from you, right? Now, if the facts actually got out to the people, this place, what do you want?
Of course it would.
At the moment with ISIS and, you know, Anjem Chowdhury apparently has got ties to ISIS and now he wants to leave the UK. Now, well, why do you think that is? You know, because he knows something's coming. Does he know something we don't know? But you know, I've seen a lot of videos again today with that Bridget woman, and she said she speaks Arabic and she walks into stores and walks where she walks and just sort of listens to the conversations. And it's a lot more widespread than what anybody thinks. These people are talking about it in their shops. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg so far from mosques. And hate preachers in our streets. Now, these are the only... I mean, how they can be so blatant in our streets, spewing their hatred, is beyond me, when if they're the extremists that are actually in the streets spewing their hatred, then what are people doing behind closed doors, Jeff?
Well, we've often said this, that we do know it's going on. We do know there are plots against, as we talk now, there's probably plots against, the people in this country, you know, some sort of a bombing spree, or even, you know, one of these Mumbai type of attacks, because we know, there was talk a little while ago, that they have got weapons, they have got weapons, and they are preparing. They are preparing for a big jihad. We know this is out there. So I think we just got to be all very careful, on our guard, because when that day comes and they do start these attacks, they've got to remember that they're going to reap a wrath upon themselves, because, you know, there's still more of us than them, and we will totally crush them. You know, we're fed up with these people trying to come over here, blowing tubes up, blowing buses up, killing people on the streets, soldiers on the streets, openly, and then saying that this was out of the Quran and this was ordained in the Quran. Who the bloody hell do they think they are? It's their country, and we're fed up with it, aren't we, Dave? We're bloody fed up with it. We want our bloody country back.
I actually saw a video earlier of some black fella. It was an ex-boxer. I forget his name. But he's done a video basically saying, you know, and it was only a room full of brothers, right, one of them ones. And he was saying about our sister this and our sister that. And what he tried to do basically was say that, you know, our sisters, anything that's happened to our sisters through the kafar, we need to do something. I mean, he was inciting some sort of racial and some sort of violent shit. That's what he was doing. Now, I actually posted on there, and I've not seen any comments or posts yet. But what I'd like to say is this. I sent him this. Using an excuse to try and rally the Muslims to act. Are these the same sisters you talk about that are not present in your little meeting, just the brothers? Are these the same sisters that have their genitals mutilated against their will or as young children? Are these the same sisters who you stoned to death for adultery or after being raped in Muslim states? Are these the same sisters you talk about that you oppress by making them cover up from head to toe because you can't control your lust? Are these the same sisters that you talk about that are forced into marriage at ages as young as 9 or even younger? Sisters, indeed, only when it suits your agenda. Right? Now, he's calling for some sort of, some sort of retaliation. No one knows yet. Retaliation. That to me is... we all know how they treat women in Islam. But, obviously, for someone to be killed... All right, look, I know it's an upsetting thing. No one should die, really. You know, no one should die.
No.
You know, old age, got done. But if it does happen, get the facts first and don't start spewing your shit and trying to roll these people up, because it don't take a lot to get these people going, right?
No.
I received a post earlier saying about, look, they've got no TV. They've got nothing. Why do you think they're so quick to jump out there and do something? Because these people aren't allowed. It's haram. They're not allowed to listen to music. They're not allowed to do anything. So their life must be pretty shit. And to be already downtrodden like they are, it's very easy to be indoctrinated into this ideology, this totalitarian state that everybody wants. You know, and from seeing the stuff that I'm seeing coming out in the Middle East at the minute, Jesus, we should all be fucking worried. We should all be a little bit scared. Not scared of fighting, but a little bit scared of what they might do to anybody. Now, I've been asked to put this out there by someone. We've already had one thwarted attack on an EDL march, and the guys turned up 2 hours late. Yeah, four lions, that's it. we've got to be careful. That's it, we've got to be careful. I mean, we've got a big one coming up in Middlesbrough. People have been asking me, why are there no demos going on in Bolton at the moment? Now, these ones that have already sort of been preordained were done sort of months ago, and it's been leading up to this, and these are the ones that have been confirmed. I've been trying to tell people that. But there's such a leftist community there, there's so many Muslims, there's so many, the EDL don't want to go there. Right? Well, I'll stick my fucking fingers up at you people that say that the EDL don't want to go there. That's bullshit.
We'll go there. If it's called for, we'll go there, Dave. That's it. When people say that we won't go there because we're too scared or something like that, it's rubbish. We go to places where it's totally, and I don't know if you see what happened at Tower Hamlets and places like that, where it's been absolutely horrendous. But we go there because We're not going to be frightened by these people. They're not going to intimidate. They're not going to put us off. We will continue to do as we do. So if it's called for at Bristol, where did you say Bristol? Bolton, didn't
Bristol,
you? Bolton.
Bristol.
If it's called for, that it'll be called for, that we'll be going there. Whether these people say we will go there or not, if it's called for, we will go there. That's all there is to it, you know?
You know, we've had a lot of talk about David Cameron saying about how we should be teaching British values in schools. And he's apparently the Prime Minister. The Deputy Prime Minister, Clegg, as someone has said, teaching British values in schools could upset the moderate Muslims. I mean, you know,
exactly.
Prime Minister, you know, I don't get what's going on here. You know, I think I do and I don't. It's over the flow of oil. I've read a few articles. I think I know what goes on. But at the end of the day, like I say, with all this ISIS crap that's going on, you've revoked the passports. I mean, not being funny, but if I had a warrant for my arrest, I would not be able to leave the country, let alone get back in. Now, if you put a warrant on all these people, now, they're actually faking their deaths at the moment, apparently, as well. So they can freely enter our country. Now, how are they going to do that on the passport that they're dead on unless they get some sort of fake ID? Now, you should know about this. Now, on my show on Friday, there is a recording, and I will send you that, Jeff, right? I had a word
Cheers,
with Tom.
Buddy.
Now, Tom has been in touch with SO15, right? He has reported back to them and told them about Abu Barar, and Abu this and Abu that, and all these people there that are doing this and doing that, and the tweets. Now, we get people arrested for tweeting something of a hate tweet, right? And they're instantly picked up. Now, Abu Barar the other day was calling for people to get out there and do something over this woman again, you know. So he got on the phone. He went, look, actually, sorry, he didn't go on the phone. I'll correct myself there. He actually went to the police station and reported it. Now, they rung him this week. Right, and the woman said to him, "How are you getting your information?" He went, "Well, I'll just look about, I delve about, I do what I do, you know." And they went, "Well, that's absolutely fantastic. Who's this fella?" I mean, how the fuck do they not know, Jeff, who these people are? We're paying these people to be our security service, and they don't even know who these people are. So, after quite a lengthy conversation, they asked him, "Are you affiliated with anyone?" And he went, "No, not really." He said, "I know a few people in the EDO and Britain First and that." And they went, "Oh, straight away." Now, this guy is in quite a top job, and he's had to be cleared through the security services, and that changed everything. Now he's a credible source of information, and being as credible as he is, they're ringing him back next week to see what else he can give them, right? So, you know, there's things that we can do other than sit on Facebook and do the debt. You know, there's a lot of other stuff. And Tom, I'm not being funny here.
Well, we've all said that, Dave. You know, for people, if there's anything that you can do that helps what we've got before us, please do. You know, don't be afraid to do it. You know, if you want to become more proactive in some of the things and you know it's important, do something. Emails, write, you know, get in touch with your MPs. Do these things. Join an EDL. You know, make your own division. Do those things. It's so important that people get off their backsides and do something, isn't it, Dave?
Well said.
Important. This is the time for people not to be sitting there wagging fingers, pointing and making assertions towards people that are trying to do something and trying to badmouth people that do things, who put their lives on the line, who go out there on the front lines, our foot soldiers, do what we got to do, instead of pointing fingers. Join us. Come and stand with us. Because this will affect you, this will affect your family, this will affect your future generations. And that is why we're here, and no matter what they say or do, we will continue to do what we do, because it is that important. We can't walk away from these things, can we, Dave?
Now, did you see... No, we can't, that's right, and well said, mate, honestly, well said. Now, did you see the... I think it was up in Bolton or Bristol or somewhere, they held a demo against some sort of super mosque. Someone got shot in the leg. You know?
Yes. Yeah, I know. And talking to the chat today about it. And I just left a little statement. You know, what comes around goes around. Karma always comes back to these people. I did make a little comment, mate. If you see what he said there and some of the comments.
Yeah.
So I said karma. You know, karma will come back and bite these people.
Not
and that's the way I look at it. They think they can go around shooting people willy-nilly and there won't be a response. And we are. We don't believe in violence. We're non-violent. We all say that. We're against extremism, any forms of extremism. But when it comes to tactics of shooting people,
Jeff?
But demonstrating...
Can you come up for air for a second? I just want to let you know that your co-host is here, and you might want to say hello to him. And hi, Tommy.
Hello, hello, hello.
Tommy.
Hello, Tommy.
What's up?
Hello, mate. Another week off of this. That's one more week up at work, doing another 50 years to go, so I can retire.
There you go.
Right,
you heard, Tommy, that we've got Dave here, and we've got Mr. Michael Green here as well this evening, buddy. So good to have you on board as well this evening, mate.
Oh, good. We're all here to celebrate one thing, and we all know whose birthday it is today. Someone who's been 21 for the past 50 years.
Rub it in, Tom.
I will.
That was what sold
the world. I
know you
will. Yes.
Oh, God.
Right, so just to get back on something we were talking about, I mean, our government and the American government have sent our troops over to this place after 9/11. They found no weapons of mass destruction. So it was mass distraction, is what it was. We've sent them over there for maybe, I don't know, heroin, oil, whatever goes on. We have now got credible sources that are saying that the ISIS people have taken borders. They're killing people willy-nilly. They're doing what they want to do. I think they're at Baghdad now. You know, I'm just wondering why now we've got every means at our disposal, be it helicopters, drones, airstrikes. We've got all sorts of stuff going on. And these people are running amok in their own country. Now, if we're not going to do anything about it, then why are we there in the first place? And even when we do, if we did wipe these people out, there'll be another group that will come along. So what are we doing there in the first place? Get them all back, is what I say, and look after the homeland. Do you know what I mean? Look after England as a country.
Yep.
And not put yourself in the line of danger where you're going to be fighting these people. Listen, we're going to be over there for the next 50 years. You know, it's never, ever going to stop. Over this
Dave, can you hold on just for a second? Because I think Michael just wants to interject. I hope you don't mind, mate.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Dave, how are you?
Go ahead, Michael.
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thanks. It's great to listen to you speak. I want to just give you my perspective as an American and someone who's been pretty connected to the military here in the U.S., and I've had a lot of interaction with people who've been over in Iraq and Afghanistan, been on the ground there, you know, fighting.
Yep.
There's a lot of things at stake here now, but if we just go back a number of years, just to get a little clarity, America did go into Iraq. Whether we should have gone there or not is kind of a moot point, I think, because we have a very bad situation here. Saddam Hussein was a murderous man, a dictator, very evil. We took him down. Unfortunately, what happened is in came Al-Qaeda, a massive insurgency, came into Iraq to kill British and American forces. Young jihadists from all over the Middle East and other places, Chechnya, poured into the Iraq for that purpose. And that was the insurgency. America eventually got it to act together and decided to do a surge of troops in. We took them down, okay? Our forces took these bastards down in Fallujah, in Ramadi, in Al-Anbar province. We kicked their ass. Militarily, we did a great job. Barack Obama becomes the president of the United States, and he decides in 2011, he decides to pull all remaining American forces out of Iraq. Bad decision. Bad decision because that left a vacuum, a big gaping hole, because the Iraqi government is very corrupt. And what happened is when the Shias got power, because prior to that, the Sunnis were in power through Saddam Hussein. When the Shias got power, they kind of took revenge on the Sunnis, which are a minority in Iraq. And America was not there to kind of rein in al-Maliki. So we didn't exert any pressure on him, try to get his government to be more inclusive, to include the Sunnis in his government, have kind of more of a coalition government. So the Shiite Muslims running the country went after Sunnis. That was a big problem, and it brought this massive war now we see of Sunni against Shia. But it goes way beyond sectarian violence because these people, this Al-Qaeda group, ISIS, is a global jihadist group, as we know. So the battleground started in Syria a few years ago with the war against the Assad regime. That brought in thousands of Muslims to come and fight jihad in Syria from the UK, from many European countries, and a certain percentage from America. As you said, these people are reintegrating back into Western nations. They pose a massive threat to our safety, our well-being. But now moving forward, you know, what do we do? If we just ignore this and say, okay, we're not going to do anything militarily in Iraq, if ISIS gets any more ground, if they continue to make any more gains, that's a serious problem for the West, because they will use that as a staging ground to launch attacks against the West. You know, they're going to set up training camps just like they did in Afghanistan. That was Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, of course, but it's the same ideology. A Muslim terrorist is a Muslim terrorist. Doesn't matter where he comes from. So that's a real dilemma.
I would agree with what you said there, Michael. And the problem is that we don't have to. We haven't got the people in power that really wants to do anything about what's going on. They make noises, but other people before them would have been doing something very positive now. And, I mean, if Baghdad, if Iraq falls to these people, I think this is going to be really bad for this country, and this is going to be bad for the world. And they're just biding their time. I mean, what is going to happen? I mean, it is very worrying. And as Dave was saying, we've got about, did you say there's about, how many thousands went over to Iraq? Was it 7,000 you said?
Well, we're being conservative at the moment. I mean, on Sky News earlier, it said 2,000 left our shores. Now, you know, I heard the other night that the ISIS are 20,000 strong, and there's at least 5,000 to 7,000 have left our shores. Now, whether they're fighting in Syria or fighting, but they've left our country to go and do what they're doing. Over 700 at the moment have come back. Now, these are conservative estimates, all right? I don't want to scare anybody. You know, this is an awakening for people, maybe, if they're listening for the first time. Maybe not, I don't know. Maybe people know already. I've been talking to the people in the armed forces, and they're telling me something that I didn't know anything about. I thought it was like the news tells you 300 have come back already. It's close to 700, probably to 1,000 that have already come back, and there's lots more out there still. And they're leaving all the time to go. You know, we saw that on Sky News again earlier, was from some mum, you know, wailing about, you know, can I have my child back? He's 20 years old. How did he get the funding? What's he doing over there? And he was radicalised before he left that country. You know, there was a guy on there earlier, a black guy, I forget his name. He works for some institute or charity or organisation. He likes to rewash the brainwashing, as he put it. And what he said was basically that, you know, these people, they're very disconnected from this country. They don't feel any roots in this country. Well, that's what goes on when you import foreigners into this country. They won't feel any sort of grassroots.
That is the whole thing. And we can have the same scenario. No matter about that, what say, re-educate these people. You're not going to re-educate these people. It's not going to happen in 1,000 years. It's what they've... the brainwashing has gone on from birth, isn't it? It's gone on, and they've been indoctrinated within this evil book of theirs. And that's why now, certain chapters, how many times we said that? Why don't you modernise what goes on in this in the Quran? Some verse after verse of kill the infidel, the kuffar, don't take Jews and Christians as your friends. But they refused didn't they, Dave? That's it. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Let me interject something quickly. What you said, Jeff, you're 100% right. The problem we have today is that the leaders of Western nations don't have the good sense, certainly not the courage, to take on these Muslim savages. And what we see happening in Iraq is the possible future. I don't believe we're going to see a caliphate anytime soon, immediately. Right now we have Iran. Iran is a Shiite nation, and they're going to back the Shiites in Iraq. They're going to back the Shiite government of al-Maliki. There are about 20,000 Iranian jihadists who are armed and in Baghdad. And so that's the dynamic over there. America is not going to do anything of any substance with the traitor in the White House we have. The UK with David Cameron, another traitor, not going to do anything. We do have the best military in the world. We have the best fighting men and women. We kick ass when our military can go into the theater of war and do their job without their hands tied and a bunch of gutless politicians telling them what to do. You know, you got to let the generals run the war, and in this kind of warfare, you have to kill every one of these bastards as you can. You can't worry about collateral damage.
What can I say to that? I would 100% agree with what you said there, because, you know, these people, they've got, there's no humanity in them. They'll kill me. They'll kill you, Dave. They'll kill Michael. They'll kill Tommy without even blinking an eyelid.
The problem we see, the problem we have, not that we see, is that Western nations, the leaders of Western nations, and those are the ones who are going to decide what our respective militaries will do, don't have the balls to take these bastards on. And I think a lot of them are actually blind. It doesn't excuse them, but they're ignorant to the massive threat that Islamic fascism faces, you know, to the free world. That's the problem we have today. You know, some say, well, let's just leave Iraq alone. We can't do anything with Iraq now. Let them kill each other. I can't agree with that now because, once again, if ISIS gets a major foothold in that country, and what they just did in the past 24 hours, they just took over two more towns, key towns, in a border crossing between Syria and Iraq. They're on their way to Haditha, where a lot of Americans fought and died. They're on their way to Ramadi, where the Marine Corps fought. Okay, they already got Fallujah, they got Mosul, so, you know, how much further are they going to be able to go? Remember, Iraq has a massive oil wealth, plenty of resources, and it's a serious situation. I don't say send boots on the ground necessarily, but between the United States and the UK, we have great fixed-wing aircraft. You know, we have helicopter gunships, we have B-1 bombers, we have F-18s. We could seriously stop their advance and do serious damage to them. You know, we could take down a lot of their ability to wage this jihad in Iraq. The question is, are we going to do it? Are our governments going to step up and deal with these bastards?
Well, now, why are they going to do that, Michael? We're funding them.
Yeah.
You know, how far is this going to go before people realize that our government and the American government going on, you know, for a long, long time. And now that they've got some sort of foothold and some sort of new group that is not Al-Qaeda, it's not the Taliban, now it's ISIS. You know, like I said earlier, take one drug dealer down, another drug dealer will take their place. If you feed a dog raw meat, watch what happens. And our people are leaving our countries to go to these places and they're fed raw meat. That's what's going on. And as soon as they get that sort of bloodlust and they don't care, listen, I'd find it very, very easy, probably, to kill a human over an animal. People don't care. They don't discriminate. They kill because they can. They kill because they're armed, and they kill because their God tells them to do it. Now, that to me, religion...
I think that sums it up in one, Dave. What you just said there sums it up exactly. They kill because their God tells them to. And that is exactly what we see. We've seen these absolutely horrific, where these guys were all in lined up, laying down, and these jihadists just machine gun, shoot them all in the head, then machine gun the bodies. This is Islam, ladies and gentlemen. This is the jihadists. This is what they want to bring to us and to the rest of the world. Do we want this on our shores? Do we want to see the turbulence and what's going on in Syria and other countries around that region? Because that's what they want to bring to us. This is what they want to install in our country. They want a jihad there. They want to see bloodshed. They want to see towns and cities crumbling. They want to see people like ourselves sort of lying there and being machine gunned. This is what they want. Do we want it? No, we don't. And what we're going to do? We must fight against it at all costs. And about the time the politicians got their fingers out, made a plan, and go and kick their arses. There you go. I can't say it more blatant than that. It's got to be done, Dave, isn't it?
We know about ISIS now, and they're running riots over there. Now, we're supposed to be there to do a job. Now, if ISIS popped up, they should have been fucking popped down again. And they've not popped down again. They're gaining. They're gaining and they're gaining. Now, to say that these people are made up of Australians, Americans, English, and they are. They are. People have left our countries to go there and wage this war, right? Now, they will at some point come back, under false passports, false ID, whatever they can do to get back, they're going to get back. And once they get back, with the bloodlust that they've got, and to know that they can just walk up to someone and shoot someone dead and do what they do. And these are youngsters, really. I mean, the last one to go was 20 years old, as far as we know. And I actually heard on the news earlier, you're my only son. Now, what's fucking going on here? You know, I mean, look, if we know what's going on in that country now, take these out. He's got a $6 million bounty on his head, the head of ISIS. $6 million, is that all he's worth? $6 million. He's waging some sort of war over there, one-man war over there with a group of followers that are led to now, apparently, a 20,000 strong. That is an army. Right? We've only got 80,000 in our infantry.
Do you think it does not sound like the days of Mohammed? Dave, would you not say it sounds like the days of Muhammad when all of a sudden he went about his evil ways and raged across the Middle East?
This is an Islamic crusade. What Dave said is right. This is not an insurgency. This is a standing terrorist army is what ISIS is. They were able to acquire military equipment the United States stupidly gave to the Iraqi army. We wasted so much money. The U.S. wasted so much money training these idiots. The Iraqi army are terrible. They're not motivated. They're corrupt. It's just a fact. We've gave them weapons of war, and we spent billions of dollars arming these morons. My opinion is never put weapons in the hands of any Muslim. Never arm them. Go there and kill the bastards and kill all of them, and that's the only way you're going to have peace. Right now, if ISIS gets any more foothold, you know, Barack Obama is a gutless coward. He's also a Muslim. Obama was
and he's a Muslim.
Sunni
Let's
Muslim.
Not forget he's a Muslim as well.
Yeah, he's a Sunni Muslim. So my position is when this thing manifested, when it hit the news media in the past 10 days, as a matter of fact, prior to the past 10 days, our government, our intelligence services were well aware, and probably in the UK too, that ISIS was on the move in Iraq because we have the best intelligence services in the world. So there's no question that our government knew that these people were on the move, and we took no preemptive action against them. So right there, that's criminal. Now they're at the gates of Baghdad. These people are at the gates of Baghdad. If Baghdad falls to these scumbags, we're going to have a terrorist state filled with oil, ready to wage the global jihad. Their next stop is to go to Jordan. They want the caliphate to unite Muslim people, especially in the Middle East, break down the borders. If you've seen the videos of these jihadists burning their passports, they no longer identify themselves as a Jordanian, as an Iraqi, as an Egyptian, as a Syrian. It's all part of the Ummah, the Muslim Ummah, the Muslim community. If the West doesn't wake up,
it's going to have a bloody nose, isn't it? If you don't mind, guys, if you don't mind, Tommy, are you there? Or Kel, are you there? Because I need to take this break.
I'm still here.
Oh, thank you, Kel. I was wondering if you could take hold of just for a while I call back. I was wondering, guys, you ready for a break? Have we got some music or something that we can maybe play?
Tommy's got a few things for you, but I have another Beatles song that Tommy will bring up, and that is Beatles' Birthday, Happy Birthday. And Tommy will play that while you dial back into the program.
Thank you.
If I can find it, that'll be one thing.
You'll find
it.
I'll
be calling back in anyway.
Do that cute thing you do so well, Tommy. Baby.
I'm trying to find it. Oh, here we go. I found it. I think I assume it's the right one.
Right, it is.
Right, I'll play it anyway. Oh, we'll find out, won't we?
Come on, DJ.
Happy birthday to happy birthday to
never gets old, that.
And we also had, Tommy, we also have the Beatles, Today Is Your Birthday.
I'm just trying to find that now. We've got that much. Oh,
ladies and gentlemen, we are celebrating the birthday boy, and Jeff turned 64 today. I don't know exactly what time he was born, but I'm sure that when he was unleashed upon the world, that it was quite the spectacle. 64 years of Jeff Mitchell.
Making me blush, Kelly. Stop it.
All presents shall be handed out at the end of the break. So I've got a little present of my own I'd like to give to Jeff that I thought of on my way back.
Oh, yeah. Tommy's got a few things for you too, Jeff. But I must say that 64 years of a hunk of burning love running around the UK.
Right. Here's what we'll do then. I'll play this part of music I've uploaded, and straight after this song, we'll go straight into the Beatles song, and then we'll start handing out the gifts.
All right.
All right, then, guys.
It's
going to be an extra long break, nothing but dancing and probably set up some sort of mosh pit in the studio. I don't know.
Well, don't worry, sorry, we've got stuff to be talking about.
Right. Okay, so I'll play it. Never put. Oh God, it's all over the place. Oh, now I've lost my studio.
Oh, come on, DJ, what's happening?
You tell me, you're DJ. Right. It's okay, I'm regaining control. I think ISIS has invaded the studio now. Ah, there we go.
Oh, my God.
Right, okay.
That's what we bloody need. Dave, sort them out.
If only I could.
You know what? If Ahmed ends up in that studio, silence, I kill you. I'm going to have to get the truncheon out. And
I know
Ahmed,
he's about,
stay
Jill,
away
I'll
today.
Smell
today
him.
Is Jeff's birthday. We don't need you interrupting the birthday party, so knock it off, Ahmed.
Right, okay, I'm ready. I'm all set. So I'll play the party song, then we'll go straight into the Beatles song, then we'll start handing out the presents. We're all going to...
All righty.
All right then, guys. Gonna be an extra long break, so have a mosh pit, go to the bar, go get some bacon sarnies and all that crap.
The bacon's cooking, Tom.
Oh, the bacon's sizzling and the women are hot.
Are you just buying for time? Come on, Tommy, what's happening?
I'm buying time yet. Right, now I'm ready. Right then, guys, no more excuses, here we go with the party song.
If you're one of us, then roll with us, cause we make the hipsters fall in love when we get hot pants on and up. And yes, of course it does. We run in this town just like a club. And no, you don't wanna mess with us. Got Jesus on my necklace. Got that glitter on my eyes. Stocking flips all up the side. Looking sick and sexy fine. So let's go, oh, oh. Let's go.
gonna like it. When music was music.
Can I say thank you, Tommy and Kel, Tommy, for putting the little tunes together for us. Really, really appreciated. And it's great to be celebrating my birthday today with you guys, and of course with all of our listeners out there, wherever you might be, and the chat room. Thank you guys for being here. It's I'm rather humbled this evening. Thank you so much for spending some time with me this evening as well. So there you go.
Yep.
Thank you, Tom.
And we are passing out the
there.
Presents. Tommy has the party favors, and he is passing them out in the chat room. And
hey,
I have another.
Don't take that party poppy off that bloody Muslim. That is
we're all wearing party hats. But there,
you know that
a,
party poppy
another
end up blowing his all up, Kel.
There is another little present from me.
Oh, bless you.
Are you ready?
Go ahead, Kel.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
I'm getting turned on.
Happy birthday, dear Jeffrey. And be quiet, Tommy. Happy birthday to you.
I've got the
and
home.
Many more. And yes, I am wearing my Marilyn Monroe special.
That's where you know I was
wearing
it, believe it or not.
The only thing I'm wearing is a party
hat.
Oh,
my God. Oh, my God. Too much information, Kel.
Someone cover Mr. Chowdhury's ears.
Oh my! No, that is fantastic. But don't take it,
there you
guys.
Go,
don't take any party poppers off that little Muslim who keeps coming in saying I'm going to kill you, right? because it'll probably blow us all up. But no, thank
but,
you,
okay,
Sonny and Kel.
I'm passing the mic back to you, Jeff, because the room is getting really
warm
now.
You're having too
now.
Much fun, Kel. You enjoy yourself.
Way too much. Just, you're going to have the enjoyment police on your ass in a minute.
I love
the
it.
The modesty police are going to come after me.
Well, you can add the flatulent. If you live in different parts of the world, you'd add the flatulent police after you kill your fart in public.
Yes.
We talked about that on the
John,
show
John,
before,
John.
Didn't we?
John wants, Holter says, is it getting warm in here or is it just me? And John Snow wants to know, what rating is this show again? And Eric says, Kel, you made Jeff go all blushy. And FDG says it's 18 plus at this point. And, oh, yes. Tommy, you're brilliant. No, it's 64 plus. Stanger says it's rated I for insane. Hey, Jeff, I hope you're having a wonderful happy birthday. But I am.
Well,
I'm putting myself back on mute because I have really taken this show in a new and, how shall I put it? A red foxy direction, so I'm going to meet myself. Jeff, back to you.
Oh, well, time to give him my present now. I've been thinking of all day.
Oh, right on, Tommy.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
I'm not going to sing, don't worry. Right then, guys.
There you
are. As we all know, Jeff was once a young man, many, many years ago. Back in the days before we was bombarded with mosques and halal meat and the grooming gangs.
Oh, yes.
There used to be a time when Britain used to be like that. Now, the story I'm going to tell you is a story that Jeff told me about a year ago, and he's probably going to start blushing in a minute, but he thinks I've forgotten about it. Now,
Tom.
Jeff was at school one day, and he happened to be on his way home. And he saw this lad giving some girls a bit of aggro. And Jeff being the very gentleman fella that he is, he goes over and says to this lad, you can't speak to those girls like that, that's not right. And this one fella, who happened to be taller than Jeff, he turned around and told him to get stuffed. And Jeff, being a little rebel cause that he is, he ends up having a bit of a scrap with this fella and he walks out triumphant. And Jeff goes home one day, he just gets home, gets on his settee in the living room, and he gets a knock on the door, and Jeff's mum goes to answer it. And there's this boy there with his daddy who's just had a fight with. And he goes, is your boy in there, Mrs. Mitchell? Jeff's mum goes, oh, Jeff, can you come to the door? And Jeff goes to the door, and this kid's dad goes, this is a kid who beat you up. He's a lot shorter than you. And this kid's dad ends up kicking him up the road, saying, what are you lying to me for? What are you lying to me for? And I remember that story, Jeff, you told me about a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. I'm like most people. I didn't like bullies, and I didn't like people, you know, being like that. And I think how big they was, it's just I found it disrespectful, and it's something that myself would always champion, Yeah, so I'll give him a bit of a good slapping, basically. I showed him up in front of his friends, and because to be having your arse whipped by a little guy, it was probably rather embarrassing for him. And then, of course, he went home and told his father, brought his father round home, and then his dad gave him a kick up the arse. So that lad didn't have a good day.
My dad's bigger than your dad. Yeah, yeah. Seen that one, been there, done that. Pulled the T-shirt, put the cat out.
it was funny, but it was such a, you know what, Dave, it was such a long time ago, but it's funny how people remember the story, you know, and I've shared a lot of stories, you know, since I've been doing the show, different things, and some funny things have happened, some serious things have happened in my life, but it's just all a part of life. But as Tommy said, there was times before the mosque, there was times before we had this... These Islamic issues in our country. It was times where a politician, you like to believe, not in everything they said, but you like to believe that they would steer the country right. But it does seem that we've come a long way to where we are now, where we got politicians who are just a bunch of, let's call them what they are, a bunch of pussies. That's it. And I know, ladies and gentlemen,
I've got a stronger word. It begins with C, and it's only four letters. I won't say
people don't like that. But
we are still going to be excited if you do.
No, I'm not doing it. I'm doing it. Stop my radio station. I'm doing
hello
it.
Hello and welcome
it.
To the EDL radio show at night. My name's Tommy English, and this is my chest.
Welcome to EDL Radio. What are you wearing?
Do you know, Dave, I've got to share with the listeners.
Six-inch heels at the moment.
Yeah, I've got to share with the listeners, that, and you, Dave, that sometimes when I have a chat to Kel, I'll give her a call now and again, maybe it's something to do with the show, or we might have a guest come on or something like that, and I'll call, and the first thing she says, ladies and gentlemen, is, what you're wearing. What you're wearing.
You're not saying it right. I know your phone number. It shows up on my call screen, and it's like, welcome to the Red Fox Blogger Hotline. Oh, what you wearing?
It's true, Dave.
You got to get the voice right, honey.
What you mean? Hang on a minute. What you mean like this? What you wearing?
Oh, God.
No, that sounds like a dirty old man.
Aqualung.
Hello,
nice little
well
girl
you
with bad intent.
Listen, it's normally only me that lowers the tone of anything, and I'm so sorry. Let me just give a massive shout out to any of our armed forces are listening at the moment. We're right behind you, people, you know that. And I know you don't know what you're fighting for at the moment, and I can totally understand where you're coming from. I've been talking to some members of the armed forces. But just keep doing what you do, boys, and come back safe. But I'd like to say, please.
Well, I think we echo all of our sentiments, and we all say that, Dave. We always think of our lads and lasses who's over in South Afghanistan and that, and doing a fantastic job. And we always give them a big shout.
It makes us wonder why now, doesn't it? And they must be wondering why.
It does.
And they've actually turned around and said they don't know why they're there anymore. They just don't know why they're there, you know. And whether that be because you know, Sergeant Blackman, Marine A, got a life sentence for shooting a Taliban insurgent, and he was dying anyway. He got shot by an helicopter gunship, apparently. I mean, you're not recovering from that. This mortal coil, you know. But because it was videoed and it was deemed to be unacceptable, bearing in mind these people are in the Geneva Convention, and we have to abide by the rules. Well, you know, I don't see that shit happen. He went up for an appeal and he lost his appeal. Now, these people must be thinking, oh my God, now I've got to watch exactly what I do and how I conduct myself in the line of fire or in close combat. The BBC, when I went to the two Michael sentencing in London, and said, what do you think of what goes on with Marine A? And I told him, you know, we're in the Geneva Convention, they're not. You know, up close and personal, 100 yards away sniper, helicopter gunship, doesn't matter, he's still dead, you know. And she went, oh my God, I've never heard that before. And actually pulled the guy over with a camera and he clipped a mic on me lapel and said, can you please say that again? And I said everything I had to say. It was about 2-3 minutes long. He took my name and address and phone number and this and I said, oh, we'll definitely be using that. And it wasn't there.
The elite have decided that it's not conducive and not politically correct to have used it, though. That's probably why. It's quite obvious that, we can use that, but when they talk to their producers and that, oh, no, we can't.
This is what's hidden, you know. I mean, if someone else in the programme would have turned around and said, look, they're not in the Geneva Convention and we are, I could have swallowed that. Not a problem at all. But because I said what I said and yes, we'll use it, and nobody else said that in the whole programme, and it was from one of my lot that I speak to, old Ben, you know, and I actually used his words for the camera, is what I did. Nobody else has said, and the whole programme was about basically, you know, they didn't turn around and say anything about the Geneva Convention, and it shocked me, really, you know, that this guy's been put
yeah,
away from
life. It's right, because they don't abide by them. I mean, they're completely against human rights. They don't care about human rights, these people. Do they, Dave? Let's be honest. That we abide by the Geneva Convention, but they don't. And, some of the crimes that they put upon any of our lads that are caught, and we've heard stories, and we won't go into graphic details, but it's absolutely horrific what they have to endure, our lads.
Sorry. I've talked to someone who said he's seen his pal's body parts hanging from trees, all right?
Yeah, yeah.
These people come back with PTSD. They come back with all sorts of problems because they've seen stuff that they shouldn't have seen. Now, to know that they get treated a certain way... I mean, we've got to be fired at before we can fire at them. We've got to see
Dave, I was going to say, the gentleman we got with us tonight, Michael Green, he helps out a lot of these injured soldiers that return from the battle scenes and that. And it's great to have this gentleman, and this is what we've been talking to earlier on.
Michael Green is awesome. Yes. Absolutely, Jeff. Michael Green, you are fantastic. What
salute
you do
you,
for
Michael,
the American
all the work you do there, brother.
Can I just say, I speak to Doc Holliday, Dogs of War, and a few other people on a few other radio stations as well as mine, all Americans, and they're absolutely fantastic. They know as well as we do, obviously, that whatever happens in America happens here, whatever happens here happens in America. And it's coming. It's definitely coming. And I salute. Everybody's up for the calls across the small pond at the moment, and there's a lot of support in America from the right people, you know, and they're fantastic, absolutely fantastic.
And that's what we say. Yeah. That's all we've ever tried to do is to pull people together because we know that it's coming. We can see really. Did you see on Facebook someone left a post in they were speaking in the supermarket. This old lady walked up. I think I shared it with Kel, and she said that she saw the Lee Rigby being killed. She'd actually mentioned this to the police. They didn't take no notice. It's what she saw in her dreams, and she said she walked up to this guy, and I won't say his name. But she walked up to him and she was saying, "What lovely children you got," and he thanked her and she said, and she pulled him to the side and she said, "You're a member of the EDL," and he said, "How do you know it?" She said, "I saw you in my dream," right? And all she said, and basically I can't remember every bit, but she said, "But hell's coming, make sure you're armed." That's what she said. That was basically like a message to everybody out there. Be prepared because hell is coming. My goodness me. And it did. The airs, when I read that, Dave and Tommy and Carol and Michael, the hairs on my neck stood up because I knew that what we've been talking about, we know it's on the way, that these people are preparing for their jihad against us. They think that they've got us where they want us and they will unleash their hell upon us. And that's what I think that she was talking about. So we must be prepared at all costs. We are peaceful. We continue to be peaceful, go about our business. But we know there are people out there who are planning some atrocities against us all. And not just the EDL, but I'm talking about people, just ordinary people, going about their business. We've seen it before. I don't expect that we're not going to see it again, because I do believe that we're going to see more atrocities, and I do believe that this will be the time when this country will stand up and say, enough's enough, and the world will
unite. You know what, that time is a long time coming, Jeff, right? Now, I had a message from someone the other day that actually listened to a Muslim station on the internet, on Blog Talk again. Now, if you could put all them faces into one, that would be something to look at. But, you know, he couldn't believe what these people were talking about. Now, what we are doing at the moment is pointing out the fact that ISIS are running mental over in the Middle East. We've got grooming gangs here. We've got people that are raping our children. You know, these people want to take some sort of control through the likes of their book called the Quran. These people are not talking about, you know, the right, and what are we going to do and how are we going to get around this. They're talking about all sorts of shit that you and I do not need to listen to, right? And he was so shocked, actually, that he gave me the link and said, "Look, I don't know when they're stopped. I'll give you a nudge and you can listen to it yourself." Now, so it's not just mosques. It's not just satellite TV. It's not FM radio in their own little suburbs there or wherever they live. across our country at the moment. It's not just in schools. It is rife and kicking around our country at the moment. And whichever means they can use, be it media or otherwise, they are using, word of mouth they're using. They're radicalising the youth. You know, 18 and 20-year-olds going to this. You were born in England. You're British, apparently. I wouldn't like to class them as that. I'm just saying what everyone else says. I wouldn't class them as British at all. They're not British. You don't put an horse. You don't put a dog in a stable and call it an horse. You don't stand in a workshop and call yourself a mechanic, right? I'm not having the British bit, but that's what people say. And British is something really that should be held dear to your heart. We opened our doors. We let these people in. We were kind to these people. And back in sort of the 50s, the 40s, 50s, 60s, we let these people in. They come and made a life for themselves, opened up shops. They don't, you know, we were kind to these people. Now, all of a sudden, this Islam and this religion has taken hold of our country to the point where now we have Sharia bonds. We have interest-free loans. We have interest-free student overdrafts. We have interest-free mortgages because it's against their religion to put interest on anything. So we are now paying for them. That, in actual fact, is now called jizya. We're paying a tax for these people, and it's slowly creeping in.
Well,
there's
wills
and solicitors at the moment, you know, that there's Sharia wills, there's Sharia courts, Sharia law courts happening in this country right now. You know.
Yeah. And this is what we shared, Dave, many, many times. We shared this with our listeners about the situation. And as I say, this is the reason why people listen, because they I don't think they realise. They did know that we had a serious issue, but I don't think they realise how serious an issue we've got. And what we're doing tonight is really opening up on some of the issues that we've got before us. And they are very serious, aren't they, Dave? And we are looking down the path of, something has to be done. I mean, it has to be done. It has to be done not tomorrow, not next day, but it needs to be, whatever needs to be done, needs to be started as from today, as from yesterday, as from the day before that. But that's what we've been doing.
I've got a slight delay here. I mean, you know, they're talking about targeting Wimbledon. About targeting also. Oh yeah. They want Wimbledon because there's lots of different people from lots of different countries. It's not just English people there. It's different countries. So they should tell everyone what they need to know about what these people are like. It's not just the English and the British that they want to kill. It's everybody that does not believe in Islam. It's as simple as that. They want to target Wimbledon. They want to drive a tanker or ship. And they've taken that idea. And apparently now, Felixstowe docks are in line for an oil tanker to come in and be blown up. You know, this is what these people are about. Well, you know,
it's a pretty frightening prospect because I've got a friend of mine who works on the docks down there.
Yeah, I have. And a
buddy,
truck driver as well, Jeff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. As I say, I've got a good dear friend of mine who actually he trains some of the guys to operate some of the big cranes that they got there. He instructs them and that. And I'd like to think that
and the police and special forces are in there to try and thwart this attack. They're trying to thwart it. Do you know what I mean? They don't want this going on, obviously. Not no one does. But how are you going to stop a half-mile-long tanker that takes like 20 miles to stop? How are you going to do that? These people, I tell you, they've got no fucking scruples, Jeff. They've got no scruples at all. And anyone that doesn't believe in Islam, you know what I mean? They just want everyone dead. And, you know, for the bloodlust that I'm seeing at the moment from ISIS and from the Middle East, it will be, you know, is not going to stop these people. The politicians are not going to stop these people. And I'd be surprised, really, if they took a foothold and wanted to do what they wanted to do in our country. How would we stop them exactly when they're armed and we're not? Please answer me that.
Well, that is, I think you make a good, valid point there, and it's something for our listeners. Is we, you know, simply we live in a nation that we've basically been disarmed, haven't we? You know, they saw there was.
Well,
an
I do have a response
happened.
To that one there, Jeff. I do have a response to it.
Yeah, go ahead, Tommy. Sorry, buddy. Go ahead.
What we must remember is we are a modernised society. Now, when these jihadists come up the road, all they're going to be armed with is a bunch of spears, a couple of axes and a samurai sword. Now, in my eyes, they're bringing a knife to a gunfight because we have weapons, we have rifles. They haven't even gotten that far yet. Basically, they have to buy weapons off the Russians. But what we do know is that we're fighting, there's two forms of jihad. Now, we mainly fight one of them, and that's going to be the other, the violence. Yeah, that's your Anjem Chowderies, your Abu Izzedines, your Abu Hamzes. They're the ones who we mainly fight. Now you've got the political, cultural jihad, which the ones who are like, oh, you know, the so-called moderates, the ones who want to try and give them a good image. That's your Majid Nawaz, that's your Muhammad Anzars. That's them. So when they say, oh, they don't speak in my religion, they really do, because they just have two ways of going about it. While Anjem Chowdhury has a more direct approach to spreading Islam, Muhammad Anzar has a more passive-aggressive way to doing it. Now, as we saw in our Derby in 2012, you had the six Muslims arrested for leafleting in Derby saying to hang homosexuals. Now, even though they had about 200 Muslims outside the court saying to release them, what was the response from Muhammad Anzar? Oh, well, I believe in spreading the message that it should be done peacefully. Now, he did not say that it's not done in the name of my religion. He said it must be spread peacefully. He did not condemn it. Because why? Because what they have done is a more direct approach to spreading Islam to the way how he does it. He can sit on Sunday Politics, he can sit on with Jeremy Paxman and say, well, I basically think that Anjem Chowdhury does not speak for my religion. That's his policy of takiyah. He has to say that because he has to make sure that he's not persecuted in a non-Muslim
Listen,
country.
Listen, in the Bible, Tommy, in the Bible, it was always Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, right? And we're held that sort of dear, but we're allowing what goes on. Not a problem at all. Do we hang people for it? These people are at the point where humanity has. We've had our crusades. We've killed a lot of people. I know what goes on. But at the end of the day, we've got to look at is in our modern society now, these people pose a credible threat to everybody around the globe. Europe at the moment are going right through it, right? It won't be long before it's England, before it's our country, right? We've already seen two little bits. They're getting ready. You know, MI5 and MI6 and SO15, all the rest of them, have actually stopped a few attacks. They, you know, over, you know, I'd say they stopped a few attacks. They didn't
quite
actually
a few
homework.
Times, actually, Dave, right? What I've heard.
Sorry? What was that,
yeah,
mate? Sorry?
I said that they've stopped numerous attacks. It just hasn't been the one you talked about, but they've thwarted many attacks, and we only hear about it a little bit further down the lines once they think it's right for the public to, you know, perceive what's been going on. That's what they tend to do. They hold back.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
if you don't mind, Dave and Tommy, I've just got something in the chat room because I do like to interact a little bit with some of the good people we get in the chat room. I've got FTG saying, if our government do nothing, how are we going to defend our country and our people and all the people? Start up illegal militia units within the country? There's a question there. So,
militia doesn't sound like a bad idea, does it?
Well, I'm going to go back to somebody I talked to on my radio show, and what you said was, is for £100, you can kick yourself out on the internet and make yourself look like riot police, but worse. Now, these people want to dress themselves up and cover their faces and wear masks and towels and all this armoured stuff and look very frightening to everybody. We could do the same thing. And what he suggested we do, and I'm not suggesting it, obviously, what I'm saying, what he suggested we do, is we all buy an outfit, all the same stuff, face mask, body armour, it's like motocross gear, like, you know, knee pads, elbow pads, you know.
Yeah, like leather sort of gear sort of thing.
That's it. No, not leather. Trust you, Tommy.
I'm trying to finish leather, Dave. What you like, Tommy?
That's a serious point there.
Not leather and fucking sack of
What you like?
Oh, you've upset him now, Dave. He thought he was going to be dressed in leather.
This is laying down trying to get his fucking jeans on, you know. Listen, if you could get 100,000 people together, there was 50,000 people in London yesterday for this mass austerity march. These people have come out for that. Ours aren't so big, obviously. I'm not trying to put anything together that big, but what we should be doing is dressing up a certain way, a little bit, and just stand in Parliament Square around the surrounding streets, bring London to a standstill, and wait for them to come out. That's what you said. And I went, what would you do once they come out? Well, you just hand them a bit of paper. this is what we want, right? Or, and I went, of course, a bit strong, bruv. He went, yeah, but that's, you know, all bar going to war in our country, some sort of civil war against these people and against the government, what else are you going to do? And I went, well, I agree totally. But it's funding. You're talking 100,000 people, £100 per uniform. What, you know, it's money, again. But this is something that should really, you know, should be done. You stand there and just wait for something to come out. You don't do anything. You don't chant. You don't shout. You just gather very fucking peacefully and do not say a word. You know, you'd all be on your phones and talk between yourselves probably, but there's nothing going on. There's no speeches, no nothing. There's nothing going on. And you're dressed up like, Jackie Chan. Do you know what I mean? Is the way you explain it to me.
I was going to say, I hope you don't mind, I'm going to just interject there, because I've had someone who's been waiting around a little time. They have got a question, and I'm going to bring them on now, and I can't recognise the phone, but I might know as soon as I bring them on. So let me bring this person on. You're live. Go ahead. You're live on the internet.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I just wanted to add some comments to what was being said earlier, and I think the geopolitical landscape's changed a lot just within the last 6 months, and everything that I read suggests that the pivot has really been towards Asia, and what's going on in the Middle East is small potatoes compared with the fact that Washington is hell-bent on restarting a new Cold War with Russia and China. And so I look at anything that happens in the Middle East in the context of how it affects Russia and China. And what's happened in the last 15 years, the madmen in Washington, in pursuit of world hegemony or new world order, empire, whatever you like to call it, have invaded and gone to war with so many different countries. You had the whole thing in Kosovo, you've had Iraq, you've had Afghanistan, Pakistan, Syria, Libya. They've committed acts of war in countless countries. And now they've bit off a little bit more they can chew. And instead of being involved with countries in the Middle East that really don't have any kind of a military or any kind of an economy, now you're talking about a new Cold War with Russia and China, which would pit America against two countries with nuclear weapons. And I'm convinced about the only thing that could stop it is if these European countries could declare their independence from the European Union, and really if they declared some kind of an independence from America.
Okay, may I ask you a question, Colin?
I think you made a good valid point there. And,
Jeff, can I ask the caller a question?
Thank you for calling into the show as well, because it's always great to take these calls, and it's definitely food for thought. I did get a well said from Dave, who is sitting there, who's a part of the team this evening. So if you'd like to elaborate, would you like to go in a little bit further with what you've just been speaking about? It's very interesting.
Sure. Well, if you remember, during the Olympics, there was that coup in the Ukraine. Well, actually, let me back that up a little bit more. Last summer, in August, September, Obama, if you remember, was going to go to war with Syria over these supposed chemical weapons and going to go to war with Assad. And there wasn't even going – he wasn't even going to put it up for a congressional vote. In other words, he was going to do the type of things that dictators do. It was going to be the same kind of thing like with what happened in Libya, where you overthrew somebody who, granted, was an authoritarian leader and a dictator, but the reality is in the Middle East, you have a choice between a nation state and some kind of authoritarian dictator that keeps the country together. And granted, it's not the kind of system I would want here, but I'd much rather have that than chaos. Well, we were going to have the same thing in Syria all over again. And two things happened. Number one, Cameron, who's basically a puppet and a whore for the neoconservatives in Washington, was more than happy to go along with it. But you had the Parliament in England, who probably the only good decision they made in about 70 or 80 years. They decided not to go with it. And you had Russia. And Putin said, if you go to war with Syria and you go to war with the express purpose of overthrowing Assad, well, then I'm going to back Assad and I'm going to send weapons over there. And you're going to have a proxy war with Russia. So Washington had to back down because even they saw that it wasn't worth getting into a wider war, a proxy war with Russia. But what happened after that was, late last year, the president of the Ukraine decided against having Ukraine join NATO and against having closer trade relations with the West, and instead he was happy to have closer relations with Russia. And so Washington didn't find this acceptable, so they put their non-governmental organization into action in the Ukraine and made sure Yanukovych was overthrown, and they put a banker, a puppet, in charge, Yatsenyuk, and the first thing he did was sell their country out to the IMF and World Bank, so they would have to take austerity loans. And what they've been trying to do, the goal was to try to kick Russia out of their cold water seaport in Crimea and have the Ukraine not only take the money from the IMF, but have them join NATO. So you'd have a military alliance right up to the Ukraine's borders. And so while they haven't completely succeeded, because while they have a puppet in charge of the Ukraine, and the last election they just have a different Western-backed oligarch in charge, while they didn't succeed in having Ukraine join NATO, what they have now is, well, they can say, well, the Crimea, because it rejoined Russia, they can make the point that Putin's trying to reconstitute the Soviet Union, and that being the case, we need to expand NATO, we need to have greater military expenditures, so the military securities complex gets what they want. They get more multi-billion dollar contracts. And the people after world hegemony, the new world order and globalization, get what they want, which is more money to try to support this growing new world order. But the difference now is that what they've done, and by the way, China's part of this too. They've put 60% of their naval fleet in the South China Sea. And so now what they've done is they forced Russia and China together into alliance, even though they've historically been enemies. And about 3 weeks ago, Russia and China signed a $300 billion deal with natural gas, and they decided they're not going to trade in dollars. And as this relates to everything you're saying, what I've seen in my lifetime, I'm 36, is globalization with the mantra of invade the world through war, invite the world.
May I ask you a question, caller? Excuse me, Mr.
Yeah.
Caller, may I ask you a question,
I'm
please?
I'm sorry. Yes, sure.
Okay, I'd like to pose a Something question to you. I'm an American. I'm very connected to the United States military. I have friends who've been blown up on the battlefield by Islamic terrorist savages. I have friends whose sons have died and been killed in Iraq and Afghanistan. I want to ask you one first question. Do you recognize, yes or no, that there is a global Islamic jihad going on?
Well, I'll say this. I think the biggest threat to Washington in terms of the Islamists.
Sir, I asked you a direct question. Would you just please respond? Do you see a global program, the EDL, if I may? Excuse me. Okay, I have a little right to speak. And you're saying a lot of things. I'm going to cut you off. Because the focus here is that we are, in the West, up against a massive, mass-murdering group of people who have one intention, and that is to slaughter infidels. Anywhere in the Western world where they can accomplish this goal, that's what their goal is.
Exactly.
So all this rhetoric you're talking about a global world order and about Russia and China, that's all nice. But the fact is, I'm not worried about the Russians coming to America and blowing up a building in New York City or, you know, slaughtering people in a shopping mall or going into Wimbledon in the UK or going anywhere in the Western world and mass murdering innocent civilians. I'm not concerned with the Chinese coming into any of these Western nations and slaughtering innocent human beings. I was in New York City on 9/11, and I saw what happened. So this is serious business, and I think we as a nation need to stay focused. America didn't invade Afghanistan. America and the United Kingdom went into Afghanistan to kill those murderous bastards that planned and perpetrated an attack where 3,000 people were slaughtered.
The war in Afghanistan
was a just war.
I don't mean to stop you. Can I just interject? There's a lot of people out there saying that it never happened, right, and no planes flew into the Trade Center. Were you actually in New York? Did you actually see the plane fly in a no-fly zone in America, in New York, that actually went into the building? Can I ask you that? Sorry.
Yes, I did. I saw that plane impact one of those towers.
Boom. There you fucking go. Now, there's a lot of people out there that have been hiding the wing. Everything's editable, and everything's... I was watching the news that morning. I had police in my house taking a statement from me over a burglary that happened at my house where I used to live. And this guy went, oh, my God, I've got to go. And when he went, I went terrorist straight away. They flew the second fucking plane in, and that was me. I went, that's fucking me done. There's a lot of people out there that will discredit what goes on and tell you that there's a building in Dubai that burnt for 24 hours or 48 hours. It didn't go down, and this is old technology that we're talking about with...
Dave, I'm not going to get into conspiracy theories and this, that and the other, because, as I say, I'm a person that I don't stand with conspiracy theories. I saw what happened, and this was an Islamic attack, and they declared war on the West. It was quite obvious that they wanted to bring the jihad. They wanted to show the world that this was a global... This was a global jihad. That's why they struck the center of freedom and democracy, America. That's it, the heart of the world, you know, the beacon of light. And, you know, this program, we don't talk about conspiracies, this, that, and the other. You know, we stand, it's what I saw is what I saw. And, you know, as I say, this show, we don't talk about conspiracies, because what we saw is what we saw, mate. So, I was going to say, Michael, would you like to come back? Would you like to finish off what you were saying just a second ago? But I'm sorry about that, Dave. I'd like to stop you there, because we don't talk about the conspiracy issues on this program, buddy. So God bless you anyway. Yeah, go ahead, Michael.
Well, I was responding to some of the things the caller mentioned, and, you know, these things are a distraction. They really are. There's all political things that have gone on in the world and will continue to. What's going on in Russia and China is a separate issue, and
I don't think it's a distraction at all.
I don't think, well, sir, with all due respect, I asked you a question. I just like a clear yes or no. Is there a global Muslim jihad going on, please, yes or no?
Well, you got to give me an answer. You want me to give you one word?
Well,
answer?
Clear, it's pretty clear. I just like a clear yes or no first, please.
Yes and no. Yes and no. It's a yes.
Well,
and
well,
no
then you got it. Now you're contradicting yourself.
No.
Well, you're contradicting yourself.
Well, Michael, he's not going to answer the question. He's giving it a double-edged sword. I think there. So no, you're not going. He's not going to actually commit himself to say that we've got a global jihad. But we all know this is a global jihad, and we must meet it with whatever forces we've got. And I've put him on mute, because I think we're done with talking to this gentleman.
Yeah,
thank you for his call.
Think so too. I think
it was a double-edged sort of thing. He didn't want to answer, and when people don't answer questions, then I'm putting them on hold. That's all there is to it. So, Dave, as I say, if you don't mind, mate, because we don't talk about conspiracies and all that, and, you know, everybody's got their own opinions.
I wanted to just point out that these people are out there to discredit everything that goes on, be it through Muslims, be it through ISIS or whatever goes on. Now, this man, obviously, was a witness. That's all I was saying. You know, to actually see the plane fly in, I saw the plane fly in on that morning. I know what went on. I'm not stupid. Do you know what I mean? I'm not a conspiracy theorist at all. There's a lot of people out there that actually tell you that did not happen. It was a government, it was this, it was that, and I'd just like to refute that right now.
That's what I wanted to say. We just wanted to clarify that, you know, what we saw is what we saw. This was an attack. This was them showing that they're going to attack us wherever we are. And what we're to do it, but the heart of freedom and democracy, the heart of New York. I mean, that was it, Dave.
Sorry,
and I hope you didn't mind me cutting. I had to say that just because there were some people that might think that we get involved in conspiracies.
No, not at all. What the guy said, he saw the plane fly in. That's good enough for me to know that guy was there. He saw the plane fly in, so fuck you lot with your conspiracy theories and your tinfoil hats. All right, that's
good.
A lot of the
people who say that 9/11 was a conspiracy is all mainly leftists and your anarchists. The ones like when the socialist workers paid the UAFs on 9/11 anniversary started putting up the yard conspiracy videos saying, oh, it was
socialist CGI. Socialist wankers party, I call them, Tom.
Socialist wankers
party. It's easy to do after the fact, though, Tom, isn't it? That's what I'm saying to you. You know, it took 11 years before someone bought a video out about it. Fuck off the lot of you. Go away.
Yeah, got it, Dave. Well said, mate. But, Dave, I've got to say, mate, we are running a bit close to the bar now. What's going? You've been a fantastic caller this evening, mate. Great to have you on the show, and I hope you come back and more, because it's always an interesting show. I didn't realise my birthday party was going to turn into such a great some of the things we've been talking about tonight. We talk about on other shows, but it's been totally intense. I hope our listeners out there have been taking on board what we've been saying. And I do get passionate about it, because it's so serious, the issues we got before us. We can't stand back anymore and sit on our backsides and do nothing. It's about time we all got together now. This is a global thing. This is where we unite the world together to fight against these people who want to bring death and destruction on our countries, on our children, on our families. And we must do what we possibly can to prevent it, whatever the cost may be. And anyway, Dave, you've been a fantastic caller this evening. Michael, as usual, bang on tonight. Thank you so much, and it was great hearing you going a one-to-one with that other gentleman there. Tommy, as usual, fantastic job, and thank you very much for the birthday music there. Bit of fun.
Happy birthday once again, my friend.
And of course, to our very own Kel. Kel's been absolutely awesome, as usual, putting the slides together, the spider slides, some of them, Kelly. Thank you so much. And,
I've got a lot more spider slides coming your way, baby.
Oh, my goodness me. Do you see what I mean,
Count
ladies and gentlemen? But
you're
also, I've got to thank a lady who sits here every show we have, and that's, of course, we've got to give a mention to our Sue from New Mexico, wouldn't we, Kel? She is phenomenal. She works tirelessly. She promotes all of our shows. On the Blog Talk Radio, she works with so many other people's shows and ourselves. So thank you so much, Sue, for all your
Sue
all
is
what you
my
do.
Mainstay. Yeah. Sue speaks with me, and I tell everybody this. They know it by now. It's ad nauseum, but it's true. Sometimes I don't know what the hell I'm doing, especially on the Friday night shows when I'm left to my own devices, and I speak with Sue before I go to air, and she really does take good care of me.
Listen, thanks for having me on. It was only like I know now, obviously, it's Sunday nights, so I will tune in. And if I feel the need to have a little chat, then if I can, if that's all right. I don't mean to upset anyone.
No, you
can
call in any
time,
brother. It's,
Motivate. Are
you
kidding? Can you please call back in? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This was the most lively discussion. Motivate. You brought so much to the table. Dave, you're fantastic. And
thank you very much.
Please,
well, so are you, because behind the scenes, I know a lot of work goes on. And that's where the EDL and everybody that's doing the sterling job they're doing at the moment. That's why I like to say thanks to you and the armed forces and everyone that's keeping our country safe at the moment, or trying to.
Absolutely.
Well said, Dave. God bless you, brother. And I do follow you on your Facebook. And you do see me comments, mate. No, it's all good, boy. It's all good, boy. You know what I mean? It's great stuff, Dave. So carry on doing what you're doing, buddy. You know, I'm right behind you. No problem. But as I say to everybody, we haven't had a chance to read down the list of... and I've got 90 seconds, but I've got to thank everybody that's been
that's
a part of
okay.
our chat.
That's okay, you know. We had a full, yep, we had a very full chat room. People were so busy, but... I really want to concentrate on Motivate Radio. I really want to speak with you on Skype one day.
Well, that's no problem at all. Add me, Dave.Russell4.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
You heard that UAF, Dave.Russell4.
Hey, guys, I've got to say, I hope you don't mind, I've got to thank you all for being here with my birthday party tonight, but I've got about 60 seconds, so I've got to thank you, a big salute you, God bless you all, not forget our great listening audience out there. We'll be back again this Thursday with a bit more of what we have tonight, guys. If you've enjoyed tonight, come back Thursday, because there's more to come. So with that, for myself, from all the team, the studio, as all, good night, take care, stay safe, and God bless you all. And for myself and everybody, no surrender ever. And we're going underground with about 20 seconds. Good night, girl. Good night, guys.
Love you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night,
guys. God
bless
you. People might say that I should strive for more. me with that.
People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging green and black. To see here's the what you get. You made your bed, you better lie. They choose your leader to place your trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with proper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up.
That, which I've been doing for a little while, but I'm going to do it tonight because it is my birthday. We're going to have a little bit of archive listens. So I'm glad that you're still here. My Kel's just dropped off.
Okay.
Yeah, good on you. I could hear you singing as well, Dave.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, I could hear you, mate. But, Michael, once again, I've got to thank you for being an absolutely awesome caller this evening. And I did like when you went one-to-one with that other gentleman there. And it was, I think it was very good listening.
Excuse me. That's me, do you know what I mean? Sorry, mate.
I had to take him on because he was just babbling, just a lot of stupid rhetoric, nonsense.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he knows the platform in this program. Evidently, he must have listened to the program before. If he was listening today prior to calling, he knows what our focus is. He knows the focus of the EDL. You know, he wanted to interject just a lot of nonsense that has nothing to do with what we're facing. And I had to confront him and cut him off.
That's what he was trying to do, wasn't he, Michael?
Yeah, and we just had to draw him out. And he's just another blind, ignorant individual that doesn't get it. You know, it's amazing. Dave, you were talking about these videos, and there's a preponderance of these barbaric videos that exist on the Internet. And I don't encourage people to go watch them necessarily, but, you know, some people might need to watch some videos. It might jolt them into reality. It might wake them up to the fact that these Muslim savages have a very clear intention, and they are depraved. You know, depravity is the lowest.
They are. I would agree with that sentiment.
They actually
tell you what they're going to do,
and they film it and photograph it for everybody to see. They will wear their undeathful, my friend, all right?
Yeah, they do that for a reason. It's called psychological warfare.
Yeah.
They don't want, you know, they want to use it as a tool, and they are, to do two things. One, to psychologically terrorize people, you know, to show this extreme brutality, and to recruit. I want to touch on an important point, and maybe, Jeff, you might want to do a show on this topic. If you decide in the future to do a show on this topic, I'd love to participate. Social media, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube is being used by jihadists to promote and propagate their vile ideology and to recruit. And you know what? It's going really well for them. They're getting a lot of success. As you said, Dave, these people don't get radicalized in Syria. All they have to do is turn on their computer, go to YouTube, go to Facebook, go to Twitter. And because of the Internet, you know, which we didn't have way back when, but all this technology is greatly benefiting these jihadists. And the thing that's astounding, you know, America owns these companies. America owns Google. Google owns YouTube. A Jewish guy named Zuckerberg started Facebook. Of course, he doesn't understand that Jews are a big target. And he's a liberal idiot. And then you have Twitter. So the irony is that liberals here in America who have built and created these giant social media websites, they allow these Muslim savages to use these websites to further their cause.
Well, see, this is the thing. I often get posts.
Now, go ahead, Dave.
How can they put this on Facebook? How can they do this? How can they put it on Twitter? Now, we get a lot of people now at the moment being arrested. Some people arrested the other day for throwing bacon at a mosque. They got 12 months prison, right?
That's right.
We've got Abu Barak and he's done about them. Now, on the other end, obviously, we've got Facebook. Now, Facebook is known as sort of Jew book, right? Michael Zuckerberg, this and that, he sold it out, he sold it off, he's got his billions and billions of fucking dollars, whatever he's got. Now, I want you to do one thing for me, if you're on Facebook. Please go to your account settings and go to the blocking, right? And put in security and then say block. And look at the names that come up under security on Facebook. Names. Now, we're wondering why we can't post against the Muslims. Now, we got to look at as well is that the Jews would like to see the Muslims gone. Now, a lot of people say to me, like I just said, why are they allowing this shit on Facebook? They shouldn't be allowing this. I shouldn't be seeing beheadings and shootings and this, that, and blah, blah. But hang on a fucking moment. If you didn't see it, you wouldn't know about it. So big up Facebook for doing what you're doing at the moment. You might ban us and block us for doing what we're doing, but we're going to keep coming back. It doesn't matter. But the facts need to get out there. And all the while Facebook are allowing these posts, right, these videos, these people to do what they do, it will be their own fucking downfall. And I'm adamant on that, right? You know what I mean? This is something that's been going on for a long, long time. We know that. We've had no social media. I remember the days on dial-up. We waited sort of 5 minutes for a photograph to load up. We've come further than that. And we are going further ahead now because of social media sites, blogs, and all the gear that goes on, and videos, and everything else that we're being shown every day that we never got shown 5 or 6 years ago. So now our movement's growing. Every movement in every country, in Europe, and all around the globe, is growing. Anyone posts a video, it's up there. It goes viral. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know,
It's the speed of the button, isn't it? You click it. And if it's popular, it'll go viral in a very short. You're so right. And as I say, it is being used as a propaganda tool, against the free world, because that is the way that it's being used. And because they hold a lot of these people if you don't allow us to do that, then you might have problems. You know, it's all about intimidation, blackmail. You know, we know this goes on. They don't openly talk about it, but we know it goes on because we know the way that Islam operates, the way it's always operated, guys. That's the reason why we're shut up. That's the reason why you say anything about Muslims or whatever, you make any suggestion, you'll have your door kicked off its hinges. You'll be down the police station because they would rather nick you than go and arrest these people.
Right, listen, I've just received a message from, I'm not going to mention him. He says, I went to Bolton yesterday, pal, to protest against the new mega mosque. I was asked to do a speech, so I got on the megaphone. There was about 2,000 Muslims and 60 of us. Now, I heard there was 1,050 of the others. I nearly caused a riot by telling them a few home truths about their false prophet. Anyway,
left Bolton about 7 p.m. with a few mates, went to a bar for a beer, and then at about 10 last night, a carload of Muslims went past shouting, "White bastards." They drove us, drove past us again, and this time shot me in the leg. I've just got out of hospital, right? Now, this is one of my pals here that I talk to most of the time.
I've
just got out of hospital now, had to have 3 hours surgery to remove bullet. Cheeky Muslim cunt, he's saying. I'm now getting death threats of the cunt. So I said, stand firm, mate. A fucking ampo says, my ass is full of patriots. If they want and can have their way, they will. And he's saying, you're loads of good lads. We're ready for empower. Apparently, I've got a price on my head. I'm fuming. I've had 15 stitches in his leg. Now, it's not enough that we've got to oppose some sort of mega mosque. What it comes down to now is that why is nobody, with all the CCTV, now I do believe that Bolton, like I'm sure that's the CCTV capital of fucking England.
It is.
Right? Why has no one pulled the shit and actually got this geezer to shot my friend here? This is a really brilliant. I'll give him no names, right? He got shot in the fucking leg. You know, this is what these people are about. This is what's going to go on. They can't take the fact. Listen, can I just say this? Their mosque is already in situ. They have a mosque there already. They want to build a fucking super mosque. Is it not enough for you already? You've got that. You can pray in that. You can do what you want. Is it not good enough for you? What the fuck goes on here? It's another strike against the English people, my friend. It's another strike. It's another strike.
Of course it is.
People want to do this all day long. I don't mean to lose my finger. I've got to do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, Dave. Yeah, Dave, you're going in one of your... Dave, Michael, you might not know that, but Dave is he's a radio host himself. He does absolutely brilliant shows. Dave, mate, I'll tell you what, Dave, would you like to promote your show? You've got to, mate, because you're absolutely fantastic.
Well,
mate.
He's a bit strong. I don't do it for that. Listen, the language is strong. The subjects and the topics are strong. It's www.massiveradiofm.co.uk. And every Friday night, we jump on at 9 o'clock, GMT, and we say what needs to be said. And I'm on the FM as well. Let's face that one. I'm on the FM, right? I've got people in the 20-mile surrounding areas from me listening to me and going, what the fuck is this fella on? Because I will tell you what needs to be told. I will tell you the same for
well,
the
that,
video.
Well, that's good, and that's what we need. And then, do you know what? It's always great to have a fellow radio host with the same passion as myself. You know, Michael's known me for a while, and I've always been passionate with. Maybe I'm not quite so strong with my language. You know the reason why, Dave? Because I learnt my thing really from Power Talk Radio, and I also have a G-rated room, so I tended to be on the G-rated side. I tend to, hold fast on the language. Simply, it's just the way that I talk. You know, I taught myself, and I've progressed even with an R-rated rooms and that.
I can do it. I've heard you many times. I was on CDL radio, and Jan England, she went to me, please don't swear. And they've seen them with videos, if they know what goes on, I went, okay, I'll try. And the only swear word I said was bitch. Now, you know, if I get a free rein, then I'll say what I've got to say. On my own radio station, I will say what I've got to say. Now, did you know there's been a study concluded that says basically that anyone that swears is telling the truth more than people that don't. Because these people have got to sort of think about the next word. I ain't got to think about anything. I can just slip a word in there and carry on. You know, you're supposed to be more truthful.
No, it's the way that you show your true passion about the things that really rubs you up the wrong way, Dave. Let's be honest, and it's always good. I don't know if you agree, Michael. It's always good to see the passion within people, and quite steadfast in their views. I think it's so important, and that's why I think you're such a good caller, Dave. You know, even if you're not doing a radio show, you come onto the show tonight. And I think it was a very good show tonight, and we touched on a lot of subjects.
You know, it was one of those. I went, Mrs. in the front room, and she went, I'm going to bed. It was 10 past 7, all right then. I've got to charge my iPad. I tried signing, it wouldn't let me sign in. I've signed it on my laptop, it's there already. I'm fucking, I'll be passed off, I think.
when I picked in and got in the queue, I just thought, you know what, listen, I don't know who's going to call. I don't know who you've got on. I don't know what's going on. But it would be good to get my £2 in because I feel the need to do that. These people that are listening need to know the truth and know what's going on. Now, for my shows and to your shows, there is no difference, right? There's no difference at all. But I speak to people sometimes that have a little bit more insight or from our country, armed forces, that something's been up against the schools and, you know, we have a few calls and those for me to be able to relate to you for the station, which is what I should do on Cry Havoc Radio. You know, I had some geezer tell me one night, it was really embarrassing, by the way. I forget his name, but he went, "I'm your biggest freaking fan, man." Right? He saw my stuff in America, you know, and if it's gone that global and that worldwide and it's doing it's doing, then good. Let's keep on fucking doing what we're doing because, you know, I don't like to swear, don't get me wrong. But if you tell something to go away, they'll really go away. If you tell someone to fuck off, right, then they'll just go away. Do you know what I mean? There's a way you've got to tell people, and that's just my way. And I don't mean to bring any sort of...
No, it's Dave, it's you, mate. It's just you.
Oh,
it's the way you are.
Sorry.
You can't change who you are. I mean, that's it. I mean, but as I say... It's always a great pleasure to. It's always great to talk to you anyway, Dave. You know what I mean. And I do follow you on Facebook. I see what you're getting up. I mean, what's he up to today? The story that's got me is that fella, and I'm not going to mention his name, but we know because I've been following it very closely, and I did make a comment. Karma will come back to these people. Guarantee that will happen. You know, when you know, those who live by the sword, as I say, normally die by the sword. And when they start shooting at our patriots, our people that love this country, they will find they're going to reap a storm, which they will not be able to put the flames out. This will burn and burn and burn. And we're not talking about it, you know, we're talking about it metaphorically speaking. You know, because I know that I can come under pressure myself. If I say too much, I know I can get all sorts of problems myself, Dave, you know. But you know, you can see it, you can feel it, and so can Michael. And Michael's been sitting there quietly. Michael, it's always a great, you know, what was I going to say? It's always a great pleasure to speak to you and listen to your views. I mean, because, as I say, Michael's, he's in America, and he can feel... the same things, and that's why he's great to be on the show, because he knows exactly what's going on, and he's concerned because it's coming his way. He can see
it's
what's
coming
going
all
on.
That
way. Mitchell,
that's the thing.
I mean, I'm concerned about all people, not just in America, but the fact is that the United States would not exist if English men and women had not left England and come here. So, you know, we have a close connection to... our brothers and sisters across the Atlantic. A lot of people forget that. It's unfortunate. You know, they came here and America was established and grew as a great nation. But America is falling and crumbling within. So is England. All because of...
Farmer has got ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. Right?
Absolutely.
The man
was raised a Sunni Muslim.
Exactly.
He has a great connection to Islam.
Exactly. Now can you see why? Now he wants to disarm you, wants to bring all these immigrants in. Now we've got something that goes on over us because you remember the EU. We're going to get immigrants from the EU. It's all good. We'd like to stop that. It's all good. But why are you bringing in people from right across the fucking world here to come into our country? And these people get some sort of asylum status, and they've got nothing to do with the EU. Now, we're being blindsided here. You're being blindsided.
Yeah.
Obama, I'm not being funny, but right, I remember the record, Tupac, a black president. I'd love to have seen a black president that could have done something for that country, for your country. And nothing's been done for your country. That man has taken, he's run amok with your country is what he's done. He wants to disarm you. He wants to bring immigrants in. All this fucking shit. He's a fucking Muslim. Sorry about my language, but he's a fucking Muslim.
Also, Dave, I don't mind stopping you mid-flow there, buddy, but I was going to ask Michael this question. Michael, you know, being an American, you know the time that Obama sent back the bust of Sir Winston Churchill. How did you feel being an American when you knew that the commander-in-chief sent that bust back to the
to back to us. What did you think of that? How did it make you feel that he done that?
It was disgraceful. It was a slap in the face to America's long-standing close relationship with England. And I think that possibly that he did that. We know Sir Winston Churchill was a tremendous man, and he spoke the truth about Islam. You know, he wrote in that book, The River Wars, because as a young man, Sir Winston Churchill was in the Sudan fighting those savages.
Yeah, he was.
So he made some very accurate and strong words, statements in his book, and it became very famous. We all know it, what Winston Churchill said about Islam and Muslims. So possibly because Obama is a Sunni Muslim, that might have had something to do with it. But just to answer your question, as American, it was embarrassing. He's not my president. I don't recognize him as president. Never will.
I hope you didn't mind me asking you that, Michael. But I always wanted to ask that question to, one of our dear American friends, because I felt, that you as Americans would feel rather ashamed of what he did because of that close relationship we've always had. And it was like, and to me, it also come across as colonialism. Maybe you want to end the colonialism with that, with that sort of a view. I don't know. All them things went through my mind, but I felt more for the American people. They must be feeling about this. Must be so ashamed of that that they put someone in office who's so against Sir Winston Churchill, for goodness sake, sending his bus back. That is the biggest slack.
We're not on air anymore, are we?
Well, we're in the archives part of the...
Oh, right, okay. I was going to stick you on motorbike. Never mind. That's all right. No worries. This is a good conversation, is what I'd say. I'll stick you live on motorbike, is what I'd do. I'll tell you if I want to jump over on to there. We'll have a nice little chat again and bring some more people in. What I'd like to say, really, is that, Obama, to be tied to the Muslim Brotherhood, we've got councillors, MPs, we've got all sorts of people here, mayors and all sorts of the Muslim faith. And that's a bit worrying. Now, I did read somewhere a little while ago that in a law of 1702, Terman has said basically that you can't have anybody that are not born of British parents, English parents, to hold any sort of contract of office or trust or power. Now, why have we got all these people now that are holding some sort of power and trust in our country that are swaying the votes? Someone's pulled over the other day in Tower Hamlets with a boot full, believe it or not, of voting forms, postal votes.
Yeah, I heard all about that, Dave.
Do you know what I mean, Jeff? I mean, this is something now that we've got to look at and go, well, you know what, if these people want world domination, they're doing a fucking good job at the minute.
Dave, and I do believe that these inner cities, these towns, wherever the Islamic enclave is, that one day in the future, that these towns will have to be taken back by force. I do believe it'd be the only way to get rid of all these rats that's within, which is causing so many problems in this country. I do believe there will be a time in the future, and I'm saying it hypothetically because, people think that maybe I'm promoting some sort of a violent backlash or something like that.
No, I'm saying
common sense. Common sense is when you see people push to a limit, there's so far when we're not getting politicians speak on our behalf, and we happen to be our own, the journalists, citizen journalists, to report on these points and what's going on in their country, then we've got serious issues in this country. The politicians are not working on our behalf. We've got to stand up and, point the fingers, haven't we, Dave? That's what we're doing, mate. Michael's a citizen journalist because we are reporting on the facts. And these are the facts before us.
Hopefully so. Now, I've just had a message back again from this fella. It was a 2-2. I think they said the old Bill got it. I didn't make a statement, told them to do one. But that's a mistake on numero uno because they won't now go and check out the CCTV or do anything to see who fucking shot him in the leg. And he's saying that they were more interested in the EDL than the Muslims that done it. They're a joke, pal.
Yeah.
I've had to cut some words out of that, obviously. He's very angry about being shot in the knee.
Well,
now,
if I was him, I would be more than angry. It's totally outrageous.
Get shot in the leg, arm at a demo, and the police are supposed to be there. You know, I had someone tell me earlier on the post, there was I actually went into the Middlesbrough page, the event page, and looked at the declines. The post had it for everyone to see. I'm looking at him, fascist, this, that, racist, blah, blah, blah. And I went, you must be fucking so uneducated. He came back again, and I've paged a few times, and people have gone and said something. We are living in a world at the moment where people would rather, it's all probably to be the left, the Muslim's best friend. Let's say this way. The Muslims' best friend will be the first to be taken from these people do anything. No discrimination on a bus or a tube or anywhere that they're going to do something. There's no discrimination. They will take anybody, right? And I hope, it's a horrible thing to say, I don't mean to say it, but I fucking hope that it's their daughter, their son, their husband, is taken by these people for them to realise the only person here, or the only people here, the only group here at the moment that is trying to save what goes on, let alone Liberty GB and all the rest of them, is the fucking EDL. You know,
that is right, Dave. You know, and you see, I mean, people see what's been going and they see that there's so many people that's been trying to destroy what we've been doing. As the Chairman Steve said, you know, it's not going to happen. Do your worst, because we're still going to be there. We're still going to, because we believe in what we're doing. You know, David, I don't know if you believe it like I do, but this is a noble cause. We do it for our future generations. We do it because it's what we should do. It's our duty. And we are trying to protect our country from the enemies from within. And we've got a lot of enemies from within. With the politics, with the Muslims that we got there to want to do us damage. You know, we got all sides. We got the left against us. We got the far right against us. You know, but we're still here, and we will continue to be here long after a lot of them have disappeared up their own backsides.
I'm humbled, like you were for your birthday just now. I'm humbled. I've had messages from people. We need a new leader. I'm not that man, right? I don't want to put myself in the line. I don't want to get on Question Time, Sunday Politics and all that game, because they'll just be beeping me out. I will not be and it won't make for a very good show. People have been asking me, you know, take over and people will follow. No, that's not me. I will do what I can and do what I'm doing, and I will carry on doing what I'm doing for the EDL.
I always say this way. We don't need leaders, you know, we've all said this within the EDL. We don't need leaders. We just need good people who believe in what we believe. Dave, you're one of those people, and you're leading the fight. You're one of our great foot soldiers. You're doing your bit. Like everybody else, everybody's a part of this great organisation. And as you say, people want to put you up, but You want to do your thing. You want to do it as you don't want to be put on the spot. You want to be you got your radio show. You come on to the English Defence League radio show. You're doing your bit. As far as I'm concerned, you're doing a bloody good job. And as I say, everybody out there is a leader. We're leading the way. We're writing history. We're part of history, because it's people like us that history books will be writing about. Down the line, it will, because we are defending our country. We'll be defending our culture. Everything that they're trying to take away from us, we will fight for it. For the last breath of that, like I've got in my body, I'll continue to fight the fight, because I don't know anything else, Dave. I've been doing it so long now, even before the EDL. 14, 15 years I've been, you know, doing what I've been doing.
Fucking hell, really?
Yeah, I've been doing it a long time, mate. I've been doing it when we talked about... What would there be someone rising in this country, someone who's got a bit of backbone that would speak out and do the thing? And the EDL was born. when that was born, and I read that mission statement, you read the mission statement, Dave, that is me. Everything about that mission statement, I said this to Steve, I said to everybody, that is me, and I will stand there right to the bitter end, because that is everything I believe in, and that's what gives me my fire in my belly to carry on and do what I do, because, and I can't do too much these days, Dave. I'm disabled. I do find it hard to get out and about. I struggle with breathing and that. But I do. This is my thing. What I'm doing now is so important for the people out there to know what's going on and how they can help. How they can help. Don't sit on your backside. I say this way. Don't sit on your backside. This is too important. Think of your grandchildren. Think of your great-grandchildren.
Listen, brother.
That's why we're here. That's why you're here, Dave. That's why I'm here. And Michael, you're here, because you know it's important.
I'm here. Yeah, I'm here, because my grandchild was born. I've got some step-grandchildren, don't get me wrong, but my first one, for my boy, he's like 4 or 5 months old. Brilliant, right? I'm worried.
Brilliant, mate.
About his future. I'm worried about what goes on. I'm also a little bit concerned at the moment. The people would like to say, you're full of shit, right? And you go, what do you mean, full of shit? Now, I look at what's going on in the Middle East. I don't look at my news, our news, BBC, Channel 4. I don't get me wrong, but I take it with a pinch of fucking salt, right? I look at what goes on in the Middle East and go, if these fucking bastards are going to come back here, you're in fucking trouble. What are you going to greet them with? What are you going to do exactly? What are you going to do? What? You got your kitchen knife? These people are coming to your houses and fucking shooting you with AK-47 rifles because they're landing on their beaches every day in crates, these cunts.
Yeah.
Right, a few of them being caught. You don't hear about that in the fucking news. Like, you didn't hear about all the austerity march yesterday. 50,000 people in London yesterday and there's nothing on the fucking news. Do you know what I mean?
Nah.
Listen, we're fighting,
the media blackout on these issues. It's quite obvious that this is a government thing. This is how they silence the discontentment within the people, is to actually just do a media blackout on it. And that's what you saw yesterday, mate. And that's what you continue. This is the reason why you don't see anything like about the EDL. We're so popular that we are global, whether they like it or not, whether Cameron likes it or not.
No,
you know, we're more popular than him.
Steve and Dave and Roger and all the rest of them, a massive fucking platform, right?
Yeah.
I've done two speeches so far, and they've gone down like a fucking, they went down, it was good. I have an agenda myself, obviously, that says that anything English, we defend as a league. That could be the NHS, could be the post office, could be this, could be that, could be the railways, could be anything, really. Do you know what I mean? That's what I'm about. We need to get ourselves up and out there and actually fucking do something. Get away from the Muslim shit for the moment, because we've got to head towards, sooner or later, the government that are instigating all of this. Now, if they signed treaties back in 1973 that no one can go back on, I'm telling you now, it's a strike of a pen. It's a stroke of a pen, my friend. You get rid of it, you fuck it off. Yeah, oil what? Don't worry about the fucking oil. Keep the fucking oil. I'll get your troops in there to secure the fucking oil to send it back to us. This is what's going on. Muslim migration was guaranteed over OIC and OPEC. It was guaranteed for the country. £1.37 on diesel. £1.37 a litre. I'll get like 26 miles to the gallon in my 2.2 Saab, right? I'll do 25, 30 miles. It's fucking ridiculous. Mm. You're crippling us. Right? And all the while you're doing that and getting all that tax money from us, you're sending it abroad, is what you're doing. Now, I know it sounds a little bit leftist. I know that. I'm not a fucking lefty. You know that, right? But it sounds a little bit leftist, Jeff, right? Because you go, what about this? What about the aid? What about what you're sending abroad? What you're doing? Well, listen, keep that fucking money to ourselves, let alone the EU money. This is all going to pot, my friend. It's all going to pot. And the sooner we can sort this out, the fucking better. And I'm not just talking about the Muslims, because if you had someone else in there, you know, someone again posted something to me the other day and went, UKIP are only against the Eastern European immigrants. They're not against Muslims. Well, but listen.
I don't know how true it is, but there is, they've been infiltrated, Dave. It's just things that I've been hearing. I don't know, whether it's just rumours, but you know, there is always, you know,
chance that this has happened. I mean, so who can say? But I don't know really, as I say, what to really say about that too much. But I've heard about there has been something. But this is the reason why they started to steer away from an Islamic issue. Because at one time they talked about it quite openly, and all of a sudden they realised, we shouldn't be going down this path. And maybe we'll distance ourselves from anybody that's associated with the EDL or any of the other parties. Yeah. So they're going in a totally different line. And of course, I think it's because there's probably got there's Muslims on board with them along the line somewhere as well. So this is... And money talks, Dave, come on. Money talks,
yeah,
mate, and you know, Saudi Arabia's got plenty of that to cause issues. But anyway, guys, Dave, I've got to say, I've got to be cut, because otherwise I'm a little bit concerned that BTR might cut us off, and I hate that when we're in mid-flow and we're engaging in some great conversation, what we've been having. Michael, once again, I've got to thank you for being here tonight and a great call. And I did like that when you had that one to one with that guy. That was pretty cool.
Fucking direct answer, mate, shouldn't he? You're right. You shouldn't give a direct answer,
yeah.
Michael. Listen, can I just say what we'd like to do next week? Are you able to call people in on Skype?
Well, I think I can, but I'm not very technical minded, such as well. I tend to leave that. You know, Tommy might be able to, or Kel.
Well, okay.
She's worked
well,
out.
How about Friday night then for the ranch show?
Yeah.
With you on the ranch. Cause this goes for, you know, there's no time limit, bruv. I can recall for like 8 minutes. Put it this way, Friday night ended up a Saturday morning. 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I know of it.
It's a marathon show.
Well, I might be able to do it, Dave, but I normally run, you know, on Friday we normally run the show for the 2 hours. But I'd like to be a part of your show and come on after I've done mine, maybe say from about 11 onwards or something like that, Dave. Once I've done the show, I'd love to come on to be a part of your show, buddy. I really would.
You know what,
you know?
In all fairness, and I think anyone else that's listening right now, you know, on the podcast, whatever goes out, we do a show where I talk, Pete talks, we play a few bits off the internet, YouTube videos, we do this, that and the other.
Brilliant.
Not a bit funny, yeah. It's not a blog talk thing. It's nice quality. When you call on Skype, it sounds like you're in a room with us. You know, let's take this a bit fucking further then, can we? You know what I mean? I've got a radio station that I pay for. It costs me fucking 25 quid a month. Right, let's fucking use it for the right reasons, yeah. You know what I mean? Just to finish off, I'm sorry I called in tonight and maybe stuck a fucking spanner in the works like I normally do, because that's me. But a very happy birthday to you, mate, and 64th.
Yeah, no, it's been absolutely great to have you on the show this evening. As soon as I see you in the chat room and then I see you in the call, I couldn't wait to get you on because you're always such an interesting gentleman. And same with you, Michael. As soon as I see you, and Kel said, we got Michael here, aren't we? Yes. So you're just great, guys. I mean, it's been a great show, and what a great birthday I've had this evening.
Fuck yeah.
Great conversation.
Michael, if you want to add me on Skype, it's dave.russell4, SSLL, dave.russell4. Add me on Skype, and I'll pull you into the next one if you want it. You know,
Dave, can you just have a talk to Michael just for a second? Because I'll write that down in me little book here.
Yeah,
and then I'll write it down.
Worries.
Just a second.
Yeah,
so
no
I just got to get
no
me
worries.
Pen, okay?
All right, son, no worries. Michael,
Dave.
Listen, we do a show from the UK. I was on CPR radio a little while ago. Now it's changed hands, and we do a few shows again. I've got a few American followers, shall we say, and we always have a good show. Dave.Russell, SSLL, Dave.Russell4.
Sorry, I dropped my phone, Dave.
Dave.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, blimey.
I made a joke, brother.
Oh, I hate
you know, listen, Dave.
I've just written it down there. So it's lowercase, isn't it, Dave?
All lowercase, dave.russell, R-U-S-S-E-L-L, 4. Add me on Skype, and I can call you in at any time. It could be some silly time. If you're not around, don't worry. We're up until sort of 5 and 6 in the morning on a Saturday morning.
I might have you added already, Dave. I'm not sure. I'll have a look at my Skype and see.
I did look earlier. I couldn't log in on my blog talk. So, you know what, listen, let's face facts here, right? Everyone's in fucking trouble from Islam, right? I've got a lot of people on Skype at the moment. I like to call a few people, get them on the op, have a little chat. You know, dave.russell4, that's me.
Yeah, good, you, Dave.
I think it's skull and crossbones, isn't it, on the profile picture?
Skull and crossbones, that's all right.
Americans across the pond there know what they're facing. They're facing a bigger threat at the moment, which is the Mexicans. I know that. I know what goes on. And Michael, please correct me if I'm wrong. Obama is doing all he can to bring your country to its knees. There's
absolutely
never been a person like him ever.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. He's doing everything he can to. He's destroying our military in different ways. You know, next time we talk, we can get into this in more detail, but he has done enormous damage to this nation, just like the corrupt MPs, the gutless cowards in your parliament, that piece of shit, Cameron. Gordon Brown, another bastard.
That's,
you know,
it. Tony Blair.
These men are traitors. I say take them to the Tower of London and off with their heads, as they used to do.
They should be hung for treason. Now, that'll be funny, but, you know, Barack Obama. Now, years ago, when I was into music, you know, I'm still a DJ, I still do what I do, but Tupac, shot dead. Biggie Smalls, you know, shot dead by West Coast, East Coast, this, that and the other. Gang warfare, bollocks, right? But Tupac did say about seeing a black president. How fucking disappointed would he be to see Obama in there? I don't get the mentality of the American people at the moment. I know it's not you, but I don't get the mentality of the American people at the moment that went, let's have a black president. Did you look into it, what went on? You know, there could have been stuff doctored afterwards. Oh, his birth certificate's in Kenya, and this, that, and Muslim Brotherhood, yeah, whatever. But you still fucking voted this man in, and he's ruining the healthcare system. Jesus Christ. Are we for fucking real here? He's fucked the whole of America.
Yeah.
You know, I do see certain bits, Michael, you know, and it fucks me, because I go, what the fuck? Why is he? He's on his second term. It means he's going to get a third term. What is that about? He's done that much of a bad job. You go, you know what? You're out. Fuck off. Who's voting for him exactly? Who the fuck is voting for Obama? Jesus,
I
man.
Know. Anyway, Dave, I'm going to have to, before they cut us off, mate, I've got to thank you once again for tonight, for being, you've been absolutely fantastic as usual, Dave. Michael, it's always a great pleasure, mate, when you call in, and I hope you've enjoyed, because it's been always great to have you here, as I say with Kel tonight and Tommy. We've had a great show this evening, guys, and I've got to thank you both for contributing so much for the show this evening.
Well done, being a part of my birthday
party.
Well done, you, mate. Well done, you. Seriously. It wouldn't be anything.
Thank you, Dave.
Right.
Thank you, mate. Really appreciated. So, anyway, guys, I don't know if I should play this out, or I think I should just close the show. I'm just trying to have a look down for a bit of music to play us out, guys. So... how about London Calling? Something like that. What do you reckon? Should we play
London
Calling?
The Clash, London Calling.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
There you go. So, from myself and from Dave, and of course Mr. Michael Green, who's always great pleasure, from Kel, Red Fox blogger, and of course our Tommy English co-host, from us all, take care, stay safe, and we're going to play us out with... I've lost it, Dave. Where have you put it?
He's 64,
Britain. You want my light? Okay then, guys. And Dave, as I say, what I'm doing, when, as soon as the show's finished, I'll add you, and then we can have a little Skype, and then I can we'll do that Friday or something. What we were talking about. Okay, buddy.
Michael.
Okay then, mate. Thank you very much then, and Michael. And with that,
yeah, take care, Dave. Great speaking to you. Great meeting you. I'll be listening to your program.
And you. Thank you very much.
Yes, you
Thanks,
do great
Michael.
Work, sir.
God bless you, mate. And you,
Jeff,
there, Dave.
I'll speak to you
Here
this coming week.
Boys and girls, London calling. Now don't look to us, phony Beatlemania has bitten the dust. London calling, see we ain't got no swing except for the rain and the crunch of things. The ice is coming, the sun's zooming in. Meltdown expected, the wheat is within. Engines stop running, but I have no fear, 'cause London is drowning. The imitation zone. Forget it, brother. You can go it alone. London calling to the zombies of death. Quit holding out and draw another breath. London calling, and I don't wanna shout, but while we were talking, I saw you nodding out. London calling, see we ain't got no hide except for that one with the yellowy eyes. The ice is coming, the sun's coming in. Engines stuck on it, the wheat is going to a nuclear error. But I have no fear, 'cause London is drowning. I live by the river.
This is the English Defence League radio show signing off for the evening. Good night, Dave, and I'll speak to you soon, buddy. God bless you,
mate. Yes, I hope so. I hope so. Till now, mate. Bye-bye.
Cheers, mate. Bye.